America is a nation that can be defined in a single word. I was going to put him
friends, happy Vårblot or Easter, wherever you prefer. Good to see you. Hope you're all doing well. We have another good show lined up for you today because another Friday's upon us. Hail to you guys. How are you doing, Lana?
Pretty good. There was snow when we woke up this morning. Yes, that was kind of crazy. A lot of snow that stuck, but now it's melting away. The sun is shining, so it was a little surprise for us this morning.
Pretty fun, it was quite a bit.
It was a lot.
I'm better at centimeters still than inches, but maybe 4 inches?
Yeah,
5 inches,
definitely.
4 or 5 inches, I think.
It stuck for
happy
quite
spring,
a little bit there.
You know, but I, you know, feels like home to me, so I'm all right with it. You know. All right, good to see you all. A couple of that's fascinating. Okay, let me do this then. If you want to join in today, guys, enterprisestream.live/redicetv. And I actually forgot last time we are using the power chat, and I do. I didn't intend to do that. It was last the no-go zone. Let me see if I can
still
find that
new
real quick.
Andrea.
I think
it was. Andrea, renewed my Red Ice membership. We need you now more than ever. Hails. Well, thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate that. And then we had, what was the other one? Missed here on Rumble as well. Let me see. I think it was two from Andin Heather, I think it is. Jews. Yeah, this is related to the topics.
Something about
Jews. So, Jews, am I right? Jews were... It's funny, but what are we talking about Israel?
I'm laughing already. Okay?
Jews were never planning on staying in Israel. I think it was really... I talked about the Khazaria Rising. It was kind of a weird, kind of trollish, weird Russian-Jewish guy, American citizen, Israeli... Russian citizenship guy who's like doing this weird thing with Khazarians and milkers were in there and all kinds of weird things. Jews were never planning on staying in Israel. Ukraine is exceptionally fertile and rich in other resources. That is true. This makes sense from that point of view. If they can't control that land, it would be a big deal. Or if they can control that land, that would be a big deal. And then as well, another from Aiden Heather here, another FBI dupe unwittingly working with the same fools as he calls white Jews. I forgot some of the topics, but anyway, thank you for those. I didn't mean to miss those. So I just want to make up for it here at the end. You know, it's a new, we mentioned Rumble and then I just forgot to check it. You know, that's kind of a bummer. But anyway, okay. Otherwise, Odyssey is up as well. And I do have, where's my chats at? I think it's down here on the iPad. So that should be good. What do we have? Zion Hunter over there says, "Hail Henrik and Lana, love you both. Keep up the good work. Love and support from Ireland."
Nice.
Awesome, thank you. Always love the when the Irish tune in. So thank you. Good to see you. All right.
I get caught up on a couple of these.
Sure,
Odin's
sure.
Ravens, happy Sigurblut. Thank
Sigurblut.
You.
Sigurblut. That's right. Yeah. Vårblot, Sigurblut. I think they're interchangeable. Okay, maybe I'm schooled on that
you
later.
You should know. Yeah. Virginian Drifter, good to see you again. It's been a while. Happy Friday to Victory or Valhalla. Yes. Mrs. Indeed. Jess Horst, hail. Thank you so much. Appreciate it. Lycan Warrior Poop Francis accuses the West of racism when it comes to refugees. I think we're going to talk about that, aren't we?
Yeah, we are. Yes, that's right. We have that story, I think. Right?
Robothinks says better late than never to swing that big D energy.
The big dick energy. Kind of like my hair right now. What's going on? All right.
Cuck Free Zone says, happy Friday. Thank you so much. And conservative thinker, Rockfin. I actually have that in my list. You know, me and my multiple lists that I have going at any given time. Rockfin is on that list. So.
It is on that list, for sure. Yeah,
I have an account there. Just need to, you know, integrate it.
Yeah,
into
I know,
the
right?
flow.
So one of the reasons why we've been so busy here, too, is we're adding in extra, you know, interviews and stuff like that, too, for you guys. So here's one that you did. It's up on redicemembers.com right
Love
now.
Love those girls. They're awesome.
What do you call it? It's premiering. That's the word. It's premiering right now on redicemembers.com. And this will go up later on the main channels and the website. So if you can't wait right now, it's right there. But it will go up later. And then we have this one coming up. I'm trying to pull in the image for this, too, mm-hmm. because I did that already. That's what I'm saying. Yesterday, I recorded a great show with Raging Dissident or Jeremy McKenzie and Morgan. here's the full screen of that from Canada in terms of what happened to them, and they were jailed and all kinds of crazy things for COVID, the COVID protests and things like that. So that's going up. That's premiering later today in the member section, redoutsmembers.com. So something a little extra for you guys. But then I think by tomorrow it should be up on redice.tv, our public website, and then up on the main channels as well. But so that's so some of the stuff to look out for. Okay, so what do we have? We have
DuckDuckGo. Let's get into that.
You want to start with that?
Okay. I just never got into it.
No. Would you know what? I wanted to show. I'm sorry. I broke your flow here. I wanted to show this. Do you remember that one time we showed it was a very large woman who was sitting on a park
bench. Many times
bench.
We have shown large women, yes.
That's true. But so, you know, you could easily confuse maybe all the large women. She was sitting on a park bench, very large. And then she has a sign that says, stand up to racism, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of funny.
She couldn't stand, yes.
Here's another one. standing for Ukraine, right? You stand with Ukraine, you can barely stand up.
Mm-hmm.
That's, I guess, you know, whatever the current thing is,
it's
just say
fun.
Stand with them, right? And then, I don't know what's going on down there. What in the world? But what are you going to do?
Yeah, and then are they have some monitor on their finger or something there too?
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, okay. Maybe they're in a hospital or something.
Oh, jeez.
Overweight. The COVID problems begin then, you know. All right.
I lay for
DuckDuckGo.
Yeah, DuckDuckGo. I never got into this search engine. I don't know. I just wasn't into it. So the CEO,
early life section,
Gabriel Weinberg, in shocking, surprising news, has announced that the search engine will begin purging all indie media outlets from the platform to replace them with these trusted mainstream media outlets instead. He said, like so many others, I am sickened, how many times have we heard this, by Russia's invasion of Ukraine and the gigantic humanitarian crisis. It continues to create Stand With Ukraine. Weinberg tweeted on Wednesday at DuckDuckGo, we will be rolling out search updates that downrate sites associated with Russian disinformation. Then he goes on and on to winesplain away his position and how it's not censorship. He's just making, just making quality information available and how it's all about search ranking. And this just happens on its own, apparently. It has nothing to do with the algorithm which he controls or programs. So I gave the Russian search engine Yandex a little whirl. Not bad, but there's still not a whole lot in English, of course. You know, that's the the
measure.
Russian Russian's version of Google, Yandex. Remember, I think we covered this in the last weekend, where the Yandex Jewish CEO, she left for Israel because she couldn't, quote unquote, be in a country that was at war with its neighbors.
Yeah, she went
so
to go
she goes
stand
to Israel
with,
to be in war with every single neighbor.
She went to go stand with Ukraine, right?
In Israel. Yeah.
That's right.
Anyway, so not surprising.
No.
This was a fake alternative, like so many that we've seen.
This is kind of how they get you, though. They, you know, do you tired of Google? Check out this cool, based, really hip alternative, you know what I mean? And then, I mean, people early on were like, yeah, I don't know about this. This doesn't look good, you know?
Well,
and then it takes
for
you down
good reason.
You know, just straight to Swiss cows, okay? Straight to Swiss cows. Just do that. Oh, Brave Search. Brave Search is decent,
yeah.
But you know, we'll see where they pan out. They're early still, you know, young. All right. Let me see if my shortcuts work. Does it work now? Yeah, that's right.
Bill Biz, thank you. Good to have you back. Looks like most of the news media can't seem to determine a motive in the New York City subway shooting or the Waukesha car massacre. Yeah, such mysteries.
Yes.
We have no idea.
Good reminder. Yeah, I covered it Wednesday, but we played some of the videos from the guy, Frank James, right? I mean, plenty of anti-white stuff, and he believed that white people basically would genocide everybody, so I guess it's all justified. Clearly, he was radicalized by the mainstream media. He was radicalized by kind of the, you know, Hebrew Israelite type thing, you know, the black Hebrew Israelite
really
thing.
It's catching on, isn't it?
No bigger, you know, there was initially, it was like, this is terrorist attack.
So
oh, he's black.
About it at all.
Oh, it's not a terrorist attack. We have to determine motive. We're not sure what's going on with this, right? One thing we do know is that Easter time, you know, Christianity and, you know, all that stuff. What better time to be schooled
Francis,
the refugee foot licker, right? Pope Francis, we are racists. Okay, all right, man,
hiding behind his golden walls.
That's right. Pope Francis accused the West Friday, was it, of racism? Friday, how about that?
insisting, today, Good Friday?
Yeah, insisting migrants are subdivided by skin color and country of origin. Refugees are subdivided, the pontiff declared in a lengthy Good Friday interview on Italian television. There's first class, second class skin color, whatever they come from, a developed country or one that is not developed. We are racists. We are racist. And this is bad. The Pope stated.
Powerful, powerful message.
Isn't this profound?
Go kiss some more African feet, dude.
It's definitely what we need from the pulpit right now. It's this message. As he's done on other occasions, Francis compared the current problem of migrants and refugees to the flight into Egypt of Joseph, Mary, and Jesus when King Herod was seeking to kill him. So the problem of the refugees is a problem that Jesus suffered too. There's always that comparison. Isn't that always that
Jesus
comparison?
Jesus was a refugee,
lower your guards, let them all in. We're all created, it's all God's people, right? That's why we have to intermix. God created all the different races so we could mix. That makes sense. Doesn't that make sense? Yeah. Because Jesus was a migrant, right, and a refugee in Egypt when he was a child to escape death. He said, how many of them are suffering to escape death? See, this is why the established Christianity and those who follow it is a doomsday apparatus for our
part
people.
Part of the globalist system, yes.
Oh, and you constantly get this. I mean, sure, there's some, like, white nationalist Christians, but it's interesting. I was thinking about the other day, just... the paganism versus, Christian discussion and stuff like that. And I mean, it is true that on average, so there's less those who would identify with paganism, I think, in the world overall than there is Christians, I think maybe significantly so. But the percentage of those that equate some kind of ethnic or group or kin belonging with their religion is a much higher percentage within paganism than it is within Christianity, right?
Sure, yes.
Maybe there's some, I mean, I don't know what the Christians in Africa, what they are into, or, if they're maybe, are they super ethnocentric? It's kind of hard to say, but when it comes to the white people, at least, white Christian Europeans.
They don't have to be ethnocentric in Africa because it's all Africans.
Right, so. Right. But, let's say they come to the West or they become, like, super gung-ho about, like, some branch of their African ethnic Christian belief or something. I'm not sure. But the point is, it's like, what we need is for those who cling on to Christianity, like, you need a major reform within that system, right, to get a higher percentage of people that also associate kin, brotherhood, ethnicity with their religion. Mm-hmm. As opposed to this universalism that's pushed by, migrant footlicker Poop Francis, right? So white people bad, in case you need a reminder, right? Here we go. Here's another shooting, right? Footage released of white police officer shooting black man in the back of the head, right? Footage was collected from Mr. Leola's passenger, the officer's body-worn camera, the officer's patrol car, and the doorbell camera of nearby houses. Let's check this out here. Here's what happened.
I already know where this is going.
I have a pro tip here a little bit later too, but we'll watch this first here. So white man bad. Remember that white man.
Don't run. Is that your pro tip?
White man bad. Okay.
Stay in the car. Stay in the car. Get in the car. Dude, I'm stopping you. You have a license? Do you have a license?
What?
Yes or no, man?
You. Do you have a license?
A license to drive.
No.
For what?
Stop. Put your hands right in. Stop.
Try drunk,
1950. Man. Got one running. Short foul. Stop. Stop.
Let go of the taser.
So he's going to take his taser. See? Let go of my taser.
The cop was being pretty mellow. He was like, dude, just stop.
Yep.
It's all you have to do.
Smack.
All you have to do is stop. And he asked a yes or no question. Do you have a license? Yes or no?
So this is the problem then. Even with legal immigration, right? Illegal immigration, then you have no, Look, if you're driving, I don't know, maybe he didn't have a license, right? Maybe he just, everything was done illegally or so. I don't know. I don't know the backstory to that. But the point is, if you don't kind of can take the responsibility to understand what your, I guess, requirements are, you might not like it. You might hate the cop and stuff, but the point is your fight is not at that moment. You obey or you end up in trouble, right? That's what it is. But now we can spin this again. Look at how these white police officers, right, going after these blacks for no reason whatsoever. So he was from...
They would have done that to him.
What was it? What country was he from again?
See, that's, well, and he's acting like they don't have licenses wherever he's from. Like, you don't have a license to drive.
Stop.
Literally, I mean, everywhere in the world, you do.
You can learn stop at least, or, you know, something, or Democratic Republic of Congo. That's where he's from, right? So here's a pro tip here regarding the situation, because this is all it takes. Here's an oldie but a goodie. Check this out here.
I can't believe you got to explain this shit to these brain dead ass Negroes.
Well, don't your Black Lives Matter?
Yeah. And you know why? Because I fucking say that it matters. See, I don't need to go out in the street with a sign screaming this shit like a fucking idiot and throwing a temper tantrum like a damn child. Also, I'm not even remotely worried about being killed by the police. You know why? Come here. Let me tell you. Because I'm not a fucking criminal and I don't go around committing fucking crimes. Also, if I do interact with the police, guess what else I don't do? I don't fight the cops, and I don't resist arrest like a fucking moron.
Yep.
I don't know why they always killing us. Really? See, nobody cares about your fucking skin color. Nobody gives a damn about your brown skin. See, it's your fucked up shitty behavior is why people don't like you. That's why I don't like you, you dumb, stupid ass motherfuckers.
All right, there you go. That's a pro tip right there.
That's a pro tip.
Not too bad, right?
Pretty simple.
All right. Yep. All right, so...
Police. I love they'll say police.
Police, right. So Elon. You want to talk about Elon Musk?
Yes, there's a lot to get into here.
Or do you want to do a couple of...
Let me get into that. Dog Whistler, happy Friday. Happy Friday to you, too. And Shadow Government asks, where did the Ashkenazi get the kinky hair from?
I think you have to go to the scene in True Romance where... what's his name, the guy who died? Oh, my God. He explained it to Christopher Walken. What the hell is his name? Chat, what's his name again? Do you know which scene I'm talking about? No,
I don't.
No. About the Sicilians, how the Sicilians had, they used to have blonde hair and blue eyes, and now they have black hair. That's a great scene, by the way. All right, anyway, go ahead.
Dog Whistler says, years ago, I was in France, and Pope Francis came to Strasbourg while I was in that town, and the big news is, it was the first time a pope came to see any city and would not visit a holy site or church. He was going
Dennis
to visit
Hopper, the, thank you. Sorry to interrupt you. Thank you, Chad. I appreciate that.
He was going to visit the HQ of the European Union. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Black Phillip says, hey, Henrik and Lana, I've recently gotten into intermittent fasting. Not only am I saving a good amount of money, I'm starting to believe the health benefits. My coworkers have been asking me about it, and I tell them it's for religious reasons, for Passover, of course. Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's all right. Yeah, that's good. That's good. Not bad. It's not a bad tip to do that. All right, so as you guys know, obviously Elon Musk has offered to buy Twitter for $43 billion. Now, there's been a little bit back and forth. I think I covered a little bit in this Wednesday. But essentially, he bought close to 10% initially, right? And then he wanted to get on the board. And then after discussions, he did not want to get on the board because that would limit his ability to control things. So then he said, I'm not going to go on the board. Screw that. In fact, I'll make you an offer you can't refuse, right? So he said, I'm going to buy Twitter for $54.20 a share, which is about $43 million, right? And of course, this is now it's beginning to now it's getting interesting because now they're revealing their hand, right? I am not a big believer that Elon Musk is some kind of savior. We can talk more about this later. This is for now irrelevant to discussion, but oh my, are they freaking out over this, right? He has these weird ideas about free speech. What the hell is this? And here's one of the clips with him, right? Actually, talking about it. Again, balanced, sensible view.
And a good sign as to whether there is free speech is someone you don't like allowed to say something you don't like? And if that is the case, then we have free speech. And it's damn annoying when someone you don't like says something you don't like. That is a sign of a healthy, functioning free speech situation.
And that's, of course, not what we have, right? So he said here in this article, he said, according to Musk, the social media company needs to go private because it can neither thrive nor serve free speech in its current state. As a result, I'm offering to buy 100% of Twitter for, as we said, $45.20 a share in cash for a 54% premium over the day before I began investing in Twitter and a 38% premium over the day before my investment was publicly announced. He wrote, my offer is my best and final offer. And if it's not accepted, I would need to reconsider my position as a shareholder. Musk tapped Morgan Stanley as a financial advisor, according to the filing. He later claimed on Thursday during a talk at TED 2022 that he isn't interested in acquiring Twitter to make money off of it, and even said he's not sure if he'll even be able to buy the company. This is not a way to sort of make money. That's a quote from him here. It's just that I think my strong intuitive sense is that having a public platform that is maximally trusted and broadly inclusive is extremely important to the future of civilization, Musk said at TED 2022. But yeah, I don't care about the economics of it at all. He also said during the talk that he would try to retain as many shareholders as possible for a private company. The news comes just days after CEO Narwhal warned investors of distractions ahead, right? That these are just distractions that this guy wants to do this, right? So, of course, the journals are freaking out. We're looking at a moment here. I think we want to play...
Yeah, it's not about money. This. He wants to make a point, right? He's a free speech, he says a free speech absolutist, right?
Yeah.
But it is interesting to see what's coming out about this, right? It's not about the money. Twitter won't just take the money and sell out. It's about controlling information, and that's the most important thing to them. And it's amazing to see how they're in bed literally with the media and government and Saudi princes, as we'll get into, like everyone to protect this platform.
Let's play a little bit of part of this here. It brought up a couple of interesting tweets and stuff like that. Let's play this.
The functioning free speech situation.
In fact, when it comes to free speech, the reason we're seeing so many videos online from Ukraine and connecting with people there is because Elon Musk moved Starlink, his satellite-based internet system, there so Ukrainians can access the internet.
So that's good then, but not the other stuff. No, of course. No, they should have free access, in fact, so we can know what's going on. But we can't have free access to these platforms so that we can share with everyone else what we see is going on, mm-hmm. right? Okay, mm-hmm. Got it.
But when it comes to Twitter, as Axios puts it, no single company does more to drive moment-to-moment political conversation. Twitter is politicians' first stop for breaking news and shaping views.
Shaping views.
That's
right?
What it's about. It's not about money. Yeah. It's about shaping views.
And think of all the blue check marks. Right? We'll get into this here. But like just this intense resistance to this, right? Barrage of media articles about how bad he is. And oh my God, there's a threat to our democracy, first thing that comes out. And again... I mean, if the board's task is not to judge the product of what Twitter does or not, their job is just to ensure, like, how do we maximize profit, right? What's good for, like, the shareholders, right? And so they have so far shot that down. We'll look at that in a moment, but that's very interesting. And even other financial advisors that come in, I have some of that later, so let's get into that in a bit here. But I want to play a little bit more from this.
Well, columnist Max Boot tweeted that he's, quote, concerned about
what... Yeah, this is the article. Listen to this dumbass journalist from Washington Post.
Musk's takeover bid means not just for Twitter, but for our democracy. Anyone who thinks the problem...
This is a danger to our democracy. Remember that...
Social media is too much content moderation rather than too little.
Yeah, we should need to, not. That's own. Right. We need to and look at how they spin the word moderate. It's not. No, it's not censorship. It's just moderation. Yeah. Right. We're just moderating the content. Yep. No one. This discussion at the end of this clip is amazing.
One of the most powerful platforms. Boot works for the Washington Post. So radio host Joe Cunningham said. Lots of people at a newspaper owned by Jeff Bezos are really concerned about a billionaire buying Twitter. Awful. Meantime, one of Facebook's co-founders writing, Twitter is considering a poison pill to thwart Musk's offer. They would rather self-immolate than give up their censorship programs. This shows you how deeply committed they are to Orwellian control of the narratives and global discourse. And Musk himself responding, quote, if the current Twitter board takes actions contrary to shareholder interests, they would be breaching their fiduciary duty. The liability they would thereby assume would be titanic in scale. Now, that poison pill option means shareholders can purchase more shares at a discount, diluting Musk's ownership. In fact, the Wall Street Journal reports Musk was just bumped off of Twitter's largest shareholder, asset manager Vanguard, now owning more than 10%.
Yeah, we'll talk about that.
Yeah, we'll get into Vanguard.
Yeah, that's fascinating.
Of the company. Bitcoin entrepreneur Nick Carter writing, I don't think the regime will allow Elon to control the most important media organization out there. It's not about money. It's about a corporate entity that is an outsourced and fully cooperative arm of the state. Well, in fact, a Fox Business reporter posted the SEC and the Justice Department just now launched a joint investigation into Musk's regulatory issues, primarily involving Tesla. Now, to break this Twitter shakeup down for us in greater detail, let's bring in Carl Szabo.
I just want to play a little bit of this, of what this moron is saying here about moderation again.
Vice President and General Counsel for NetChoice, Carl, thanks for joining us. Good morning.
Good morning.
So there's been a lot of back and forth over the last couple days between Musk and Twitter. What do you make of this latest proposal, your reaction to his offer to buy this outright?
Okay, first of all, I feel like I'm watching an episode of Billions play out in real life. This is the type of financial transactions you typically see on TV or on cable, and it's quite interesting. So let me bring
That's the only reference frame they have, these people.
A TV show.
Or a movie, right?
Yeah. Elon Musk came in with what was called somewhat called a bear hug, where he makes an offer so attractive that the board of Twitter has to accept it. Remember, the board of Twitter does not work for Twitter; it works for the shareholders of Twitter. So the purpose of the board is to maximize value for Twitter's shareholders. So Elon Musk came in with an offer that was, he thought, so attractive that the board had to accept it, and now what we're seeing is kind of the political machinations within the company of Twitter, within the board, to figure out how do we retain control with respect to a board level? Is this buyout the best interest of the business? And how do we, if we want to prevent it, engage in such threats as like a poison pill that you described?
Yeah, it's a tough situation for the board because, well, they see the writing on the wall and they see what the changes that could come under ownership of Elon Musk. In fact, in the filing, Musk stated the company will neither thrive nor serve the societal imperative in its current form. Twitter needs to be transformed as a private company. So that's definitely insight into what he plans to do. So what would Twitter look like, Carl, as a private company under Elon Musk?
I mean, that's exactly the thing. The way any publicly traded corporation operates, it is beholden to the shareholders. So Elon Musk, if he takes it to be a private corporation, basically he can do whatever he wants. Now, private corporations are not new to America. HEB is a privately owned corporation. Coke Industries, privately owned corporation. So just because it is privately owned doesn't mean it's necessarily bad or good. But Elon Musk then can do whatever he wants with it. He can decide, we'll let everything go on content moderation, advertisers, and
that would be hilarious.
Other concerns
awesome
be damned.
To see
or he can go in the other direction.
Yep.
He can become more restrictive. But it's going to be really intriguing because one
free
of the big challenges that faces any social media platform is content moderation at scale. When I tweet, I want it up there as soon as I hit the go button. And in order for Twitter to maintain the interest of its users and its advertisers, it needs to engage in a lot of content moderation. Sometimes we like it.
No,
just let it be.
Why
just
do you need
let
to,
it go?
Why does it need to engage in content moderation?
Because they know they're ultimately going to lose.
When I tweet,
they're gonna
I want to press the button.
Narrative
I want to know
true
that it
free
gets,
speech.
Right. I said when I press the post button, I want to know that it gets up there. And for that to happen, they have to do a lot of moderation. No, they don't.
No.
They literally don't.
No. You have to do anything.
Just, I mean, and legal is not always a good benchmark or whatever you want to call it, because now they're passing ridiculous laws, right? Hate speech laws, which, you know, it doesn't exist and stuff like that. So that shouldn't be there. You can't say, oh, legal, so is it legal speech or whatever. But legal in the sense that it's like, let's assume that it's, okay, it doesn't call for like killing someone or whatever. Like, but if it's an opinion someone don't like, what's wrong with that? So what's the big deal, right? So their point is, they're terrified of this, that they're freaking out. And again, doesn't mean that actually anything good would come out of this, right? Do you guys remember this old
But it has potential.
Classic?
It has potential for that. And even that freaks them out. Because they know that Twitter is, they say it, it's a political tool. It's a weapon. You know, they need to control it. They need to have their people controlling it.
Because they control the narrative. And Twitter is the choice for all the blue check marks. And especially like the journalists love Twitter. It's all about Twitter, right? The most ardent activists are on Twitter. If Facebook, it's all right, but no, it's Twitter is where it's at, right? That's the thing. We have to control that. And just to remind you again, right? Jack Dorsey's on Twitter's role in free speech and filter bubbles, right? From 2018. Let me play this clip here again. This is not a joke. They said it was a joke. Where's that time to time code again? 3:26. Let me play it from there. Listen to what he said about the free speech issue of Twitter here, right?
But certainly, you know, this quote around free speech wing and the free speech party was never a mission of the company. It was never a descriptor of the company that we gave ourselves. It was a joke.
That's the thing. No, they saw themselves as being, and he even mentioned in the beginning of this interview here, like, you know, central to the discourse and the conversation.
Yeah, and for a long time, there wasn't censorship, right? It wasn't even an issue.
No.
Everything was going just free and fine.
I remember when people were posting like funny, edgy Hitler memes on Twitter, and it was like not a big deal. I mean, and it's like, it's funny because it's like you're not supposed to do it and allowed, you know, kind of thing. That's why it's funny, you know what I mean? But that's a good reminder, right? So what do we have here? We have, we can play this one too. This is kind of interesting, right? This is regarding, and what it looks like now is you have a combination of powerful entities, like Vanguard and BlackRock, stepping in potentially together with government to stop this purchase, right?
That's how important this is to them.
It is very important to them. And again, it doesn't mean that we actually something good would happen under Musk. Maybe it would. Maybe it would improve, 10% or something. He said some dumb things about this in the past. He said, well, you know, it should be free speech as long as we can keep propaganda off of these platforms. And I was like, well, anybody would classify anything that they don't agree with as propaganda. Even the guy, we didn't play the rest of that, but
he gets that now. I mean, when did he say that? Several years ago?
No, this was like...
More recently?
This is a tweet from literally like a week or two ago. So, you know, what does that mean? And the guy we listened to there earlier, he said also, we have to keep Russian disinformation off of these platforms. You know, no one wants to see that. And that's what I've got to say. If you don't like something, there is a block button. That's literally the only moderation that's necessary. If you don't like an account or you think that they post dumb issues or dumb things... block that account.
That's not good enough for these hall monitors. No, they want you murdered. Yep. Like, seriously.
So here's the former Securities and Exchange Commission Chairman Harvey Pitt warning of a possible effort by government or Congress to prevent Tesla CEO Elon Musk from purchasing the social media giant Twitter. Right. So again, Zuckerberg, that was fine. Jeff Bezos and the Washington Post.
All those other billionaires are fine. It's just this one that's the problem.
That's the big problem. Let me play a little bit here from this one.
Well, I have to start by saying the one thing about Elon Musk is he's not boring and he's not conventional.
It's true.
This latest effort sort of proves that. He acquired his shares but filed the wrong form. When he filed the correct form, he filed it late. And that creates certain difficulties because those filings are important. There were shareholders who sold in the misguided belief that he was just a passive investor when in fact he's not. With respect to this bid, I think the real question is it real? If it's real, then I think that there's a serious argument to be made that this is something that the board will have to consider fairly. My own view is that after Musk attacking the board, they will find all sorts of reasons to claim this bid and offer is not in the best interests of Twitter shareholders.
Which it literally would be.
Yeah, right. You know? And that's sort of what we're seeing already. I'm wondering if they're going to get help from government. I mean, Mr. Chairman, unfortunately, we are seeing a lot of politicizing of a number of agencies. This has been going on, by the way, in several different administrations, both on the right and on the left. You see politicking and politicization of these agencies. Do you think that given the left does not want Elon Musk to acquire Twitter, that we could actually see government give a helping hand by, doubling down on the investigations around Musk?
It happens to their proxies. They do it all the time.
Well, my concern is that this administration is pretty much guaranteed to oppose this kind of bid. The folks at the SEC are apolitical, and
their enforcement division is. Really?
And I would expect them to proceed in a more professional manner. But I think the danger that the government or Congress might intercede in order to prevent this takeover is a very real threat.
Well, yeah, of course. Let me pause there. Then, well, the point is, we could. This is not about the SEC, but like, have you seen how they go after Library and Odyssey recently? I actually have a segment on this, and I didn't cover it yet. But
Dog Whistler has a message about this. It says, SEC is going after Library for not using registered security deals, and banks for running their finances for the Odyssey app. How long till SEC goes after Musk on some technicality if he does take over a larger position of Twitter stock?
Very good comment.
I mean, they just, they're picking on people. They pick and choose. They let it slide for other people, and then they highly scrutinize the other ones. It's all about their, what are their political views?
They're
it's
there as, a, as an
you
attack
You can't buy
dog.
Twitter, or you can't buy these stocks with those political views. It's all like part of this social equity and social credit score already.
Let me see, too.
And Elon isn't even hard-hitting, but it's enough. It terrifies them enough, right?
Let me see here if I remember this correctly. Who's the current? Oh, it is Gary Gensler. That's right, right? another early life check on that guy. But yeah, he has literally, and when Odyssey and stuff like that, again, I should cover this in a little bit more detail, but they were literally not even telling, is it Jeremy? I think Jeremy Kaufman from Odyssey, library/library, right? Same company. They were not telling them what they need to do. They were like, how do we do it so that we can become like Ethereum or something, right? Like a protected, or not protected, that's the wrong wording here. But basically like, you know, we can operate legally. What do we need to do? And they just like won't give them any answers.
On purpose.
They're saying, you need, if you don't understand this, you need to hire more attorneys and more lawyers and stuff. And they spent like millions already on this.
They want to just drain their money. That's what it is.
Absolutely. Yeah. 2 years. And then they're saying, you're not answering our questions about what you do and what it is and stuff. And again, it's very specific that they go after decentralized, which I think more or less it is now, Odyssey. Like, some aspects of it is decentralized anyway. Platforms such as that, because they see what a threat this potentially would be, so they're trying to destroy them. So that's just one point.
And that's the other thing. Like, people are saying with Elon Musk, well, just go start your own platform. That's not the point. I think he's making a point here. Like, well, there's Twitter, and he can afford to buy it, so why not? Because then you go and you start your own platform, and they attack you and try and shut you down constantly too on top of it.
Shut it down.
And we know that Twitter is a central important thing to them, so it's good that he's trying to go after it.
No, definitely, right? So this is kind of interesting too. This shows a little bit here, right? We have two, let me take the first one here. The Twitter board hired Goldman, right? That's Goldman Sachs, to advise that the Elon Musk $54.20 offer is too low. But then Zero Hedge pulled this out here. The only problem is Goldman has a sell rating for Twitter at $30 as the price target. Whoops, right? So then you understand. And here's the takeout here from that, right? So that basically means he's way over that. Again, that's why they said like he's making an offer. They're like, they can't refuse this. But why will they refuse it? Because it's not about the money, right?
Yeah.
It's about very other things.
Cuckfree Zone says, 10 seconds until the ADL condemns Elon Musk's offer. One, two, three.
Oh, I play the...
They've already done it.
Of course.
They don't know what's in his head.
He's already out.
So it's a
he's
problem.
Already doing that.
Yeah.
Exactly. Do you remember that? Let's play that again for the audience in case you missed that. I played in
he
one of those.
He can only buy
zones,
it if we know what's in his head and what he's after exactly.
That's right. Wow, Fauci. From afar in the thumbnail, Fauci looked like Greenblatt there for a second. Where is that? Yeah, it's a very good insight into how these people think, right?
Andy says, New York Times had an article calling Musk the digital Citizen Kane. I actually laughed out loud.
I saw that. So I put exactly right. Look at this article here. Here it is. Thank you for mentioning that, because that's one I missed. We had a couple of other ones. Here's the top of it here, right? Elon Musk is a digital Citizen Kane. What would Twitter look like with a Musk as its sole proprietor, right? And it says here, imagine that Musk eventually buys Twitter from the stockholders who own it today. The closest comparison to this might be the 19th century newspaper baron like William Randolph Hearst, Joseph Pulitzer, or the fictional Charles Foster Kane, who used their papers to pursue their personal agendas.
Oh, like no one,
sensationalize.
No liberals are doing that right now.
Of course,
oh,
right? Sensationalize world events and harass their enemies. One fucking platform or like outlets that's like, and it wouldn't even mean that it would go in this direction. But the potential of it going that is how nervous they are about this, right?
Yeah.
Let me search for Greenblatt. I can't find that damn clip. That's it perfectly exemplifies, right, how like immediately they have to what's going on here? We don't approve. This is worrying. Right, here it is. Here it is.
Because at the end of the day, that's how weak their positions are. Mm-hmm. It relies on censorship and banning and dirty tricks for them to win. Right?
Of course. Here it is.
Jonathan, you've been quite outspoken about the responsibility that you think social media companies should have. To some degree, you would argue, or I would argue, I think that Elon Musk thinks they've gone too far and wants to roll them back.
Oh, my God.
It's hard for, I think, any of us to really ascertain what's going on in Elon's brain. I admire him as a
big red flag there.
Businessman tremendously.
Of course,
what he's done as
money. But that's just nuts. That's not what it's about for this guy. It's the means to control and dominate that you can do with these money. That's what's important.
Entrepreneur as an innovator is almost, you know, without parallel. He's an extraordinary person in so many ways. And look, I am a capitalist.
Of course, you're a free market. My free market. We have never shut down any businesses based on based on what we think. No, of course not. No, this is
free
speech. We
don't go after alternative platforms ever.
No.
It works. He has the right to buy a share of the company. And what you were saying just a few minutes ago, maybe this is a standstill agreement where they've reached some kind of detente. I don't know.
This is about a few days ago, so this is not the newest. But anyway, and then he goes on to say how he's like, I'm a free speech guy.
Well, we know what's in his head.
Yes,
sure.
We do. Absolute control. That's what's in his head. And dominance, right? He's a mob boss, that guy, by the way. He's literally like a Jewish, Israel first mob boss, that guy. All right. Let me see. What was I going here with this? The stock thing. Let me go back here. Here. Not only Goldman, but also came out now here, J.P. Morgan. Same thing, right? They had also advised to help defend against Twitter ads. Sorry, let's read from the top. It's easier. Twitter ads J.P. Morgan to Goldman to help it defend against Musk's hostile bid. Why J.P. Morgan? Because a 56% return, is it right, is better than a $30 sell. So they had also had recommended a $30 sell, I believe, right? Or was it 30%? Let me see. What is it? No. There it is. Yeah, $30 per sell. I'm trying to find it in the actual screenshot right there. But the point is, there it is. There it is, right? 37, to be technical. 37.08, right? So there you go. But no, that's fine. He can offer way over that. And you have these, you know, capitalist, business first, right, kind of thing. Groups like J.P. Morgan, Goldman Sachs. It's like, we're not going to do that. It's almost like these bankers are conspiring with each other. What in the world? And of course, you had things like this, right? Saudi Prince Al-Waid bin Talal Al-Saud, one of Twitter's largest shareholders, reject Elon Musk's bid. Good billionaires shouldn't control media. Yeah, because they're totally not doing that, right?
Interesting about the Saudis, too, because according to this liberal worldview, I mean, Saudis are ethno-nationalist, they're racist, they're xenophobic, homophobic, transphobic, sexist, all of that. But they'll take their money in this case and listen to their point of view. Isn't it interesting? Saudis are very traditional and conservative for their own people, but it's clear that they're neoliberal for everyone else because it's a weapon that destroys. And it's also interesting that there's no outrage over the Saudi prince owning this big chunk of Twitter when Saudi Arabia is a place where journalists are killed, free speech is suppressed, there's this bloody war in Yemen that's being funded, but it's okay.
That's fine.
In this case.
Of course.
They love this guy now.
Yeah, Saudis, and it's kind of red meat for like, look, the Saudis are controlling Twitter. But, Wahhabism, it's kind of interchangeable at this point. But anyway, so this is what he said, right? I don't believe that the proposal offered by Elon Musk at that price, $52.20, comes close to the intrinsic value of Twitter, given its growth prospects, blah, 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 blah. So they have their kingdom, the Kingdom Holdings Company, right, of Saudi, the Saudi thing. Oil money, a lot of oil money. So here is what happened on this front. Let me go up full screen for you guys. So he is number three. Analysts have changed, right? He used to have a bigger... No, wait, sorry. Let me see here. 2019, 20, 21, 22. Is that current purchases or what he had up to that point? Maybe that's what he had up to that point. I think this... So the list there, the ranking or the holder name, the descending order there, I think, is still correct. But so what's interesting, too, is not only that he sold a large stake, but as Musk bought it, right, Vanguard went by the guy, too. So they went back on the first spot right now. Again, this is not 100% you know, accurate because it doesn't have the latest. But the point is, like, he sold some of that, and you know, the Vanguard group just got in. Like, let's upset this whole thing, right? Almost like it's a kind of
because they have
plot
the funds
here,
for
right?
It. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, it's not like they own anything else or anything like that right now either. By the way, we'll get more of that in a moment here. Here's a couple of the headlines here real quick then of the Spurgouts from the blue check marks and the urinalists. Elon Musk is the last person who should take over Twitter. And as I said, this is dangerous to our democracy. This is not good at all. Elon Musk is fighting for attention, not free speech. He's just doing it to make money. What was the line here they used again? Although Musk has spent several weeks complaining about the status quo, speculating about bias and provoking Twitter blue checks and tech commenters into fits about content moderation and censorship, he has explained little about what he would do differently. So that's it. They don't have him, I guess, 100% under the control.
What he would do is just stop these stupid policies and just let anything fly if he could.
He probably wouldn't, to be honest. But even that is not good enough. If it's not 100% us and our way, that's it, you know. He's right about one thing. Twitter plays a central role in public discourse today, but it's hardly the same as a public square. Yeah, that's right. So it's not that. It's a private company. It's a public square. You can't touch it.
Yeah.
And content moderation can't be reduced to censorship. No, of course
not.
It's
amazing how they never want to see themselves as authoritarian tyrants who censor. No one wants to see themselves that way, but that's what they're doing.
Of course it is.
That's who you are. That is what you support.
And the paragraph concludes here.
They don't want to have to admit that they're enemies of free speech.
Of course not.
That's all.
What Musk's and others portray as a battle over free speech is a proxy fight over who is entitled to attention. So he's just doing it for attention. That's the only reason. But attention would mean money then at the end of the day too. Again, I'm not saying that his intentions are good. Maybe nothing would come of this. But we're just looking at the reaction of like how these people are spurging out over this, right? Here's Robert Reich, another lunatic. Elon Musk's vision for the internet is dangerous nonsense. Right? This is what they think about this. It's pretty incredible.
They think free speech means Holocaust and mass murder.
Yeah, I mean, he's basically Hitler. That's basically what it is. That's why in the thumbnail for today's show, that's actually Hitler's mustache on Elon Musk.
I took a photo
and I cropped that out and I put that on. So basically, he's Hitler, right? He's a racist. Tesla is a racist company, right? These are some of the things that are flying out because they're not hiring enough non-white people, you know, things like this, right? David Rothkopf says here, we are the assets of Twitter. If we walk out the door the moment Elon Musk takes it over, it is nothing. And I can tell you, I, for one, have no desire to participate in the social engineering experiment of that particular out-of-control megalomaniac. That's how he's viewed now. I think a lot of people, they used to love electric cars, you know, all this. He's doing computer brain interfaces. That's great. You know, we want that. That's good. He's doing, you know, there's like fourth industrial revolution style technology, right? He's doing AI research with, Tesla and the self-driving automobiles.
I mean, all of this really helps the globalists at the end of the day, too, and their whole agenda.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's why it's another space. Is he being, you know, I heard you didn't agree with that earlier, but I'm always that, like, is there another layer to this where, like, they're turning him into some kind of, like, you know, the Iron Man type, like, he's the wealthy, entrepreneur and, philanthropist. And
I disagree with you on that.
He's going to be launched now as some kind of like some count. Look at how they reacted when he was going to buy Twitter. He's a counterculture guy. He's really secretly based. He's one of us, you know, kind of thing, to help him launch what he's about to do, you know, with all his tech and stuff. So anything is possible. All right. So we had, what else do we have? We had a couple of, did you want to go through some of these?
Yeah, a couple of tweets I thought were relevant. Yeah, Tyler again. In his own words, what he wants, to buy Twitter to unlock its potential to be a platform for free speech around the globe. And I think that that's sincere. What is the rational or moral argument against this? There is none. That's why they're trying to justify all the time of, it's not really censorship, blah, blah, blah. You know, they know this.
The moral argument against it is that they're stopping another Holocaust. I mean, basically, right? That's what the moral argument is. If we don't stop these crazy people who want free speech, we'll have another mass murder on our hands, right?
And then, of course, this one we covered earlier, someone did, but Aaron had a good one. Is it Aaron or Aaron? I'm missing this.
Aaron, let me see. Which one was that?
You could play the other one first, though.
This NBC one here?
One. Yeah,
do you guys remember this one? What did I say her name was?
Lesbians Who Tech.
Lesbians Who Tech. Kara Swisher. Swisher, right? She's the one who sat up on stage with Susan Wojcicki from YouTube, right? And talked about how on YouTube was this nice new like digital town that they've built, but there was no exterminators to deal with the rats or like animal control or garbage disposal. So it was all this the trash and the rats were running around in your town and your city. That's literally the argument she used. For
rats
censorship.
Of truth, you know, those pesky rats.
That's right. So that's her here, of course.
And then she also wanted Ben Shapiro banned, right? And Susan Wojcicki wouldn't do it.
So she didn't. She said how smart he was, and obviously we can't ban him, but what do we kind of do with him? And Susan said, well, Ben will meet the
guidelines.
The guidelines. Ben will meet the guidelines.
Yeah. They had this list of these neocon, you know, merchant right, grifter right people that they'll mm-hmm. always allow on their platforms.
Oh, yeah.
And every, you know every who time. Those are.
Yep.
There are real.
Oh, by the way, that reminds me of a totally different thing. I heard today that Charlie Kirk, by the way, stood up on stage at one of his TPUSA events. Talking about demographic replacement and the great replacement, right?
That's right. This last year he's been doing that. So, yeah, is he going to apologize to all those people that he was attacking for saying the same things and now he's like stealing all their arguments and talking points and acting like he didn't try and shut them down in the past?
And also,
no apologies. No, you were right.
Right. And what's noteworthy here? Is that then what you're left with is you do have the Daily Wires, the Charlie Kirks, and the likes.
They'll be the
they're not getting censored
to.
From any of these platforms. They're saying things now that people like us and others, many others, were censored and banned for saying a couple of years ago. But now, see, they can say it, then they become the only holding like arbiters and messengers of this information. And of course, what does that ensure? Well, it ensures that it doesn't kind of derail, right? So it's under our control, right? So no one really asks a deeper question. Well, what's the reason for this? Who did this to us? And how do we stop that? And what do they want? And who's behind? Do you see where I'm saying here?
Mm-hmm.
All right, and let's play this clip.
And devastating consequences for using that platform to lie. Mm-hmm. And we've seen it. We've seen it happen. I wonder... You know, when talking about this, it's, you know, it's kind of funny. Oh, Elon wants to buy it. But there are massive life and globe altering consequences for just letting people run wild on the thing.
Yeah. If we
letting them run wild, letting them truth tell and actually let free speech flow and actual true debate and discourse and true journalism. See, this is one of the battles for the regime's major propaganda outlets. One of their major outlets. That's what this is all about. And they know.
Even let's assume that even like the worst possible information was shared on Twitter or lies or, you know, truly like, you know, bad disinformation. Whatever. I mean, they're the ones who are doing all that. We know that, right? We know why they're doing that, but even like how bad could that get?
And how influential and could it be? Right. Like, oh my gosh, this one account is tweeting about whatever, you know?
Right, that's what I'm saying. Like they're acting like this would destroy their world. But ironically, yet again, many of these leftists, they actually have a point because they know that if that genie is let out of the bottle, there is no stopping it.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why they actually know this is real. They understand this, how dangerous this is, and that's why they're using this terminology. But from the outside, if you're just like, well, you know, well, yeah, I guess I'm a pro-free speech kind of guy, or no, we should moderate. Like, to that, this discussion must seem like, why are they overreacting mm-hmm. like this? They're lunatics, right? Anyway, before I lose it here in the Odyssey flow, Lord Aragon, thank you, sir. Appreciate that. Good Fashy Friday all. Thank you. Good to see you as well. Do you want to take a couple, or should we finish this clip first?
You finish that first.
Okay, perfect.
Yes, 100%. But that's Facebook is really the where the real action is in that. So that's this is a very small company. People, it has an outsized influence because media people like it, politicians, world leaders, and Elon Musk. And so one of the issues is if he's not going to do this, and by the way, Twitter and some of its biggest investors, like Prince Al-Waleed bin Talal, are saying no, and they're putting poison pills in. What is he going to do? He's going to have to somehow unload this 10% stake, and he probably that's probably what he's going to have to do, or raise private financing, which has its own risks and possible rewards, but a lot of risks for him.
Well, I didn't play the soundbite, but he was asked if there's a plan B, and he laughed and said there is. We'll find out what that is.
That's what a super villain hero would say, right? He thinks he's Tony.
They live in this Marvel universe now. This like spandex.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, he's a super villain. The other planting these seeds, it's all... I'm telling you, this, the Marvel shit that's been going on the last like decade or so, that's all the whatever the hell it is, all these comic books becoming real. There's like this is dominating like the space for a lot of these commentators now. I'm serious. But one thing we didn't say is, if he dumps his 10%, you could have a massive crash of the mm-hmm. Twitter stock as well.
That's right.
Right, because it raised,
and that's why Vanguard is swooping in there. I think.
Very possible. Yeah, try to prevent that or something. Or again, I think it. At the end of the day, this is about information control. It's not about money, right? But the point is they would rather burn this to the ground than let someone like Elon have it, it looks like, right?
Yeah.
Anyway, did you have a couple
Yeah, a couple more tweets, though, before okay, I get into it. That.
Sure, sure.
Yeah, this one. If you think politics is downstream from culture, watch as multiple corporate entities coordinate with investment firms, government agencies, foreign rulers, media outlets to stop one piece of the cultural manufacturing apparatus from falling into the wrong hands. Absolutely correct.
Yes.
Another good tweet. The government acts through proxies. This is about Vanguard now owns 10.3% of Twitter, making it a bigger shareholder than Elon Musk. Obviously, the government acts as proxies. People are like, it's not the government, it's private companies. No, that's not true. No. They're definitely behind it.
And we'll prove that in a little bit here, too.
And this is also just another Winklevoss bro here talking about
how
for a long time, Twitter stock was just pretty flatlined, right? And then since all this has happened, it's like, going nuts, right?
Yeah.
Not much was happening before.
Yeah, what is that, 2016? It was a dip there, 2016, 2018.
Big dip.
And then it's been going up, I guess, regained some. That was back in 2014. And that's, I guess, just a little, the latest increase is right there, guys, I think, from when Elon bought it.
Mm-hmm.
But so he can get it to crash, I think, a little bit, which would be good. Burn it. Hopefully he texts us, like, if I can't have it, no one will type approach, you know what I mean? And of course, we have to remember, right, that he might be the first African American.
Well, that, he's from Africa, right?
The company, right?
He's from Africa, so.
Yeah, it's be a big deal. They say, you know, that African Americans are discriminated against and they're not privileged. But think about this. The richest man in the world right now is an African American.
That's funny. Okay, let's get caught up in a couple of these.
All right,
sorry, guys. I'm a little behind. Should have jumped in there. Cuck-free zone. Oh, yeah. Talking back about that article or the clip you played. Privately owned corporations are not new to America. Really? Wow. Thanks for letting us know, dude. Yeah, remember that guy earlier you were playing? Let's see what else. JP says, the small hats be like, if Twitter stops censoring the truth, it will lead to another Holocaust. That's literally what they are saying.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
Dog Whistler says, Saudis know exactly who to hire to build their buildings, Abraham houses, buy their firearms, get vaccines, and which sons, Hunter, and son-in-laws, Jared, to give millions of dollars to in deals. That's right, Jared Kushner.
Yes, Saudi. Did they have
Saudis as well?
Yeah, the Hunter. Did they have a thing with the Saudis there? I'm sure they did. It's not fresh in my memory, but yeah, interesting.
Snigging says, late for the show. Take care, Hill. Red Eyes. Peace. Thank you.
Snigging.
Two more. Bill Hoover says, so the leftists are on the side of oil-rich dictator and globalist money-lending corporate raiders that want to censor Twitter versus the environmentalists that invented the electric car with open source to save the planet that wants Twitter to be for free speech and democracy. Exactly.
Bruh.
It's pretty funny, huh? It's pretty funny. Screw the billionaires. We're going to side with the trillionaires over at Vanguard, BlackRock.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, exactly.
Bill Hoover, the leftist that wants to block the sale proves that they know that they are deliberately censoring their political rivals. Yes.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's true. So I'm doing a search here real quick. Let's talk a bit about the BlackRock and, I guess, Vanguard. And it goes into... it goes, this blends together because they basically own each other, right? Vanguard swooped in and bought, as we said, a larger share of Twitter than Elon. The threat to the regime is real. This is about to be the first time a lot of people encounter Vanguard and BlackRock. The veil is off and these people are getting aggressive. I mean, they've been very out in the open about this too, which is kind of interesting. But over the last few years, I mean, BlackRock really kind of showed up out of nowhere,
yeah,
to be honest. You know what I mean?
I didn't really think about it a couple of years ago, but now it's all the talk.
Even the founding was interesting. I saw another article today where basically there's another company called Blackstone, and I think it was a Schwartzman from there, where Larry Fink, the current CEO of BlackRock, used to work, and then they split. And he intentionally took the name BlackRock. He was thinking about Black Pebble for a while too, but Blackstone, BlackRock, to intentionally like confuse you and like make sure like, wait a minute, you know what I mean? So like you can't keep track of who's who, or like you're mixing it up or mixing it together because you don't follow it that closely, right? So they've been called the fourth branch of government, right? BlackRock. And actually before we...
Yeah, because they work with the central banks. They lend money to the central bank. They're also the advisor to the central bank. They develop, I know you're going to play a clip about this, the software that the central bank uses. A lot of BlackRock employees were in the White House with Bush and Obama. And then, of course, it's CEO Larry Fink, Jewish. He seems to get a warm welcome from all these big political leaders. Like, he knows all these key people.
they're pretty much
a part of the government at this point.
Oh, yeah, he's well in on it, right? They have access to certain, as you say, certain information, certain financial things. It places them in a situation where they're like, they do work for the government, and then they check their own work, then they, and they say, no, it's compartmentalized. This entity over here that works for the government to handle like certain, you know, audits and things like that, that doesn't share any information with the investment part of the company and stuff like that, which is a complete joke, right? So think about everything with COVID, right? We talked about the big pharmaceutical companies, right? The major shareholders in there is BlackRock, Vanguard, and sometimes on close third, you have either Berkshire Hathaway, which is Warren Buffett's, or you have State Street, right? That's usually how it parses out. Again, seemingly these competitors, right, who's like companies that are like a tug of war with each other. Well, they're all owned by the same companies at the end. And then you ask, well, who owns BlackRock? Well, Vanguard owns BlackRock. Who owns Vanguard? BlackRock owns Vanguard, more or less. You know what I mean? Like it blends together, right? So they're, yeah, go ahead.
No,
go
yeah,
ahead.
Yeah, they all own each other. Exactly. I had a thing about this that they I was reading about how they're the world's largest corporations, right? But they're owned by the same investors, right? So they all own each other. It means like also that the competing brands, for instance, like Coca-Cola and Pepsi, they aren't really competitors, really, because their stock is owned by the exact same investment companies and funds, insurance companies and banks in some cases and governments. So really, this is the case now across all the industries, and they seem to have their hand in everything.
Yes.
Literally.
And so just think of not only the rollout of the vaccine, how much money they made on that. Think about the wheel out of the vaccine passport. Well, even there, let me play a little bit of a clip here too, but they go through more. It's not directly only about the vaccine passport and the profiteering from the medical tyranny under the guise of COVID. But it's also like just about this, you know, cross ownership and things and how it becomes weird. And then they become like a new branch of government, right? That they go through some of this in this clip. But this is from Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s publication, the Defender. Vaccine passports, just one way BlackRock, Vanguard are profiting from the pandemic, right? Let me go to about 5 minutes in this clip here, guys. Let me pause real quick. Check this segment out here. This is kind of interesting. They talk about how much shares they own in, you know, Microsoft and Apple and like all these big companies, right? But listen to this part right
holders as well, and they are behind.
He's interviewing Michael Nevarkadis. He wrote a piece about how they're basically like the fourth branch of government.
The development of some of these vaccine passports, as they're called, as well.
One of the things you point out is that those two companies actually own each other too. That Vanguard owns is, you know, the major shareholder in BlackRock, and BlackRock is one of the principal shareholders in Vanguard. So it's really kind of one, you know, massive monopoly company that now owns a huge portion of the global economy.
That's very true. You mentioned before that these two companies alone control over $15 trillion in assets. That's predicted by Bloomberg to surpass $20 trillion by 2028. And has led various analysts to call these companies, which are essentially almost operating as one company because of the fact that they also have this cross-ownership with each other, as kingmakers, because they have such a significant share in so many companies, like the ones that you just listed a moment ago, that they exert a lot of influence over votes that take place and over presumably decisions that are made within these companies. Bloomberg actually called BlackRock specifically back in 2020 the fourth branch of government, which was an interesting way of putting it, and especially considering the source, which is Bloomberg. But there's this very strange cross-ownership where Vanguard is the biggest shareholder in BlackRock, and BlackRock is the biggest shareholder in Vanguard. And then it makes you wonder, well, you know, can we dig any deeper than that to see, to get any more information about the ownership structure and the operating structure of these companies? And it's very difficult to actually get that information. And what I saw when I, after the article that I wrote was published, is that, of course, it generated a lot of discussion. And there were some individuals who were trying to, in a way, defend Vanguard and say, well, it's not really like that. They, you know, their ownership in BlackRock and in these companies is through mutual funds and through this and through that. But it's been confirmed by many different sources. I'm not the first person in the world that's reported that one company owns the other company. And all one has to do is really just look up any publicly available information. Who are the top shareholders in such and such company? Who are the top shareholders in Vanguard? Who are the top shareholders in BlackRock? And the other company, you know, if you're looking for Vanguard, BlackRock shows up. If you're looking for BlackRock, Vanguard shows up. So regardless,
Vanguard shareholders, are private. Like I was saying, you can't see who they are. So what are you so afraid of, huh? Why are you hiding?
Check out this one's from 29th of March this year. It's kind of interesting for the rest of that. There's more there. I recommend the documentary Monopoly. It's by a guy living in Holland. Forget his name now. We had it up on, I think, both our site and on our Telegram and things like that. Very good backstory on this, right? But many of these companies, they also kind of just show up out of nowhere. For a while, it was Goldman Sachs and maybe even JP Morgan. It was like high up there like this.
And they're like mobster, and, drug dealer, money launderers. You know?
Yeah, but I still think someone else is behind. There are people that we don't know the names of that are ultimately controlling and funding, or at least ensuring, right, that they get to this point where they are. So I want to look at another clip here as well regarding just how BlackRock became as large as they are, just a quick little reminder here. Check out the, you know, some of the statements, right, from CEO Larry Fink, right? Listen to this one, for example, just to find out where they stand, right? They always talk about democracy and these kinds of things, right? But no, not so much. These are Great Reset, Agenda 2030 type of individuals that are there to fulfill a very different purpose, right?
Uncertainty. Markets don't like uncertainty. Markets like actually totalitarian governments where you have a understanding of what's out there, and obviously we're the whole dimension is changing now with as you said, a democratization of countries, and democracies are very messy, as we know in the United States. You have opinions changing back and forth,
and that's no good for them. They don't want that, right? They actually want to have tried to rigid control. Remove as many unknown variables as possible. Remove politicians. We can't have a system where, like, all of a sudden some nationalist is elected in a country who's not going to be along with the Great Reset.
It's unpredictable for the market.
Exactly, right?
Of course, it's not just about money for them. This is just an excuse.
It's exactly. They use that as a guy. Say, well, it's just blah, 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 shareholders, blah, 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 right? But listen to this one. Here's another one, a goodie from a while back regarding how we need to force behavior. That's what we're doing at BlackRock.
Well, behaviors are going to have to change, and this is one thing we're asking companies. You have to force behaviors, and at BlackRock, we are forcing behaviors.
Not your own, though.
No, of course not. We'll talk more about that in just a moment, of what they're doing, and the whole, you know, creating nature as an asset class, carbon credits, social credit score, vaccine passports, Agenda 2030, sucking carbon out of the atmosphere, nets, all of that's connected, and that's what part of what these guys are doing, right? But before we do that, check out this clip here. This is something called Aladdin, which is one of these, call it robot for short, but it's a system, it's a kind of an artificial intelligence that's basically taken over and run, well, according to this clip, basically everything. Listen to this here.
What if I told you there is a robot that controls more wealth than any country on Earth? A robot so powerful that in the last 10 years, it has quietly created the biggest company in the world. This is the story of a robot called Aladdin. It's Wall Street's best kept secret, and it's gobbling up every asset class across every industry. Aladdin now controls $21 trillion of our global economy. To put that in perspective, that's more than the $20 trillion GDP of the US or the $15 trillion GDP of the entire European Union. The New Statesman wrote, the total physical cash of all 7 billion people and every company, bank, vault, wallet, and piggy bank in the world is around $5 trillion. Aladdin has grown into a system responsible for more than four times the value of all the money in the world. This one robot directs the actions of the U.S. Federal Reserve, almost every major bank and investment fund on Wall Street, and over 17,000 traders. It controls half of all ETFs, 17% of the bond market, 10% of the global stock market, and carries out a quarter of a million trades every day and billions of forecasts every week. Year after year, it hoovers up trillions of data points on every market, every company, every asset, and now even each of us, what we buy, sell, and say, so that it knows what to buy and what to sell far better than any human being. Every major bank, company, and investment fund has come to rely on Aladdin and its all-powerful AI and algorithms to beat the market. And if they didn't, they've collapsed and failed in Aladdin's wake. And you know what the craziest part of this story is? This robot is just getting started. So where did Aladdin come from and how did it get so powerful? Aladdin is the brainchild of Larry Fink, the founder of BlackRock, and its total dominance has made his company the biggest shadow bank in the world and the most powerful company on Earth. The story you're about to hear is equally unbelievable and terrifying. In fact, you would think it was science fiction if it wasn't very real and happening today. This story starts in the 1980s, when Larry Fink was making millions pioneering mortgage-backed securities at Wall Street Bank First Boston. That's right, the same mortgage-backed securities that caused the 2008 global financial crisis 20 years later. But back in the 80s, he was in an epic Wall Street rivalry with Louis Ranieri at Salomon Brothers, made famous as the big swinging dick in Michael Lewis's book, Live Poker. Back then, Larry was making millions for the bank and was on track to be First Boston's CEO. And then in 1986, an error in the back office computer models led...
Do you mean like egg-shaped? Like Epstein.
To Larry making the wrong trades, and he lost the company $100 million. The result was...
Well, it is Easter after all, so I mean, gotta have those eggs.
Larry leaving...
Look at that egghead, by the way.
The bank is a failure with a stupid computer to blame. With that experience, Larry had just one ambition, to build a super smart robot that could pick out risk and opportunity in the
world
market
domination.
And do it better than any computer or human could do. In 1988, he launched a new startup, BlackRock, with a tiny coding team to give birth to this robot. Its name, Aladdin, which stands for Asset, Liability, and Debt Derivative Investment Network. In its first 10 years,
magical
Aladdin
genie.
Was fed information about every asset.
Letting the genie out of the bottle, right?
Price movement and risk variable in the global bond market, Larry's specialty. And in 1999, when Aladdin turned 11, Aladdin was getting so intelligent at picking losers and winners that Larry began selling access to its data to other Wall Street firms. That same year, he took BlackRock public on the New York Stock Exchange. Straight after the IPO, the dot-com bust burst, pushing a wall of money from the stock market to bonds, which Aladdin had become the undisputed world champion in. Within years, BlackRock had become a trillion-dollar company, and as money started shifting back to shares, what did Larry do? He bought the asset management arm of Merrill Lynch, which was focused on shares. So the gift for Aladdin's 18th birthday, all the data points for the entire stock market, and suddenly Aladdin had a new playground, analyzing every stock trade and risk factor for every company on the stock market. As a result, today BlackRock, together with his two closest rivals, Vanguard and State Street, both of which also rely on Aladdin's mountain of knowledge, have become the biggest shareholders of over 40% of all public listed companies in America. 2008, the global financial crisis hits, and before Aladdin turns 21 years old, is caught on by every Wall Street bank and Timothy Geithner, the head of the Federal Reserve and the U.S. Treasury. As soon as Lehman Brothers collapsed and the Wall Street meltdown began, the U.S. government came calling to save the next collapsing bank, Bear Stearns. It was Aladdin who decided which assets to keep and which to leave in the $30 billion rescue package. And few people know it was a robot that saved America from disaster. With that first success, the Fed, U.S. government, and now even European and Japanese central banks began relying on Aladdin to make the calls on where the $2.5 trillion of new money they printed should go. The majority of it, bonds and funding to prop up the mortgage companies and banks. But wait, aren't these exactly the assets that Aladdin and BlackRock already were invested in? Exactly. But growing protests of conflict of interest were drowned out by the noise of the printing presses printing more money, as the assets controlled by Aladdin rapidly grew to $11 trillion by 2013. In the last decade, Aladdin has gone from the leader to the dominator of all financial markets. With BlackRock's Barclays acquisition, it got iShares, Barclays Exchange Traded Funds Units, or ETFs. And with that, Aladdin moved from dominator of bonds and equities to dominator of ETFs, just as all the biggest investors shifted from mutual funds to ETFs. And that's when, in 2017, everything changed. On Aladdin's 29th birthday, Larry launched a top secret project at BlackRock, codenamed Monarch. It led to the firing of his fund managers and replacing their funds with Aladdin's funds. The robot was now eliminating humans from the equation altogether. Yep. And as a result, today over 70% of all trades on U.S. stock markets are decided by robots, with Aladdin leading the way. These trades are completed from beginning to end without a human involved, in high-frequency trading far faster than a human can execute. Now, if this was just a story about a robot taking over the job of Wall Street traders, you might not be so concerned, unless you're one of those traders. But in the last 3 years, as Aladdin hit $20 trillion in assets, incredibly, it has begun to consume and control at an even faster rate. First, in 2020, as Aladdin turned 32 years old, the U.S. government and Federal Reserve again came calling as the pandemic hit. Aladdin was again the one to guide the nation in what was now $4 trillion of newly printed money. Where did the money go this time? Inexplicably, for the first time, the Fed began buying ETFs in 2020. Well, that's a little strange. And again, the cries of conflict of interest were drowned out by the money printing. And then Aladdin revealed its endgame. Recently, BlackRock acquired eFront, which collects data on the things that you and I own, including private equity and real estate. And since then, Aladdin has consumed eFront's data on the entire global real estate market. And yep, you guess what happened next. Over the last 2 years, BlackRock and other funds using Aladdin's data have begun buying up single-family homes, where they can afford to outbid the rest of us as they have unlimited financing at hyper-low interest rates. The result is home prices rising by 20% over the last 2 years and pushing now even big players like Zillow out of the market. And here we see Aladdin's endgame, to be the one hyper-intelligent AI robot that not just controls Wall Street assets, but all assets, public and private. Now, I'm not into conspiracy theories, but even a skeptic with eyes wide open can see the signs. We're already at a point where no one can compete without Aladdin. As CEOs and asset managers like Anthony Malloy are now saying, Aladdin is like oxygen. Without it, we wouldn't be able to function. And what about government regulation? Well, Joe Biden has appointed BlackRock executive Brian Deese as head of the National Economic Council, which basically means the oversight of Aladdin and BlackRock is now the responsibility of BlackRock. And Biden has also appointed BlackRock chief of staff Wally Adeyemo to be assistant secretary of the Treasury, which means BlackRock is now the Treasury as well as the Treasury advisor.
How is this even legal?
And this story is far from over.
It's just so
the genie is out
everything.
Of the bottle. And Aladdin has already reached a tipping point where one robot controls more wealth than any person or country. But as Aladdin's AI capabilities continue to grow, and with its rate of control rising by another trillion to $2 trillion in new assets every year, it looks inevitable that Wall Street's secret weapon could end up owning everything, and we end up owning nothing.
And we'll be happy too, right? So it's a good
come crawling to BlackRock for your little gulag pod, right?
Yeah, and they're doing it with machines, AI. And again, at the end of the day, it's not just maybe how about, oh, well, the robot took off and just did things on its own. No, someone is programming this. Someone is giving it them leeway while it's pressuring everyone else, right? From 2019 time, it's a matter of when how machines are taking over the world's stock markets, right? That they're trading faster and at speeds you can't predict. At some point you'll have, and either these robots, as they call them here, will do this, or you'll have other artificial intelligences, or let's say they run supercomputer simulations, and you know they're creating like a, they're creating the world in a supercomputer, right? A simulation. And they run predictive things, or they add certain elements.
They probably run the numbers already. If Twitter had free speech,
look,
what would happen?
Exactly. They do. They are actually predicting and then trying to prevent certain things. You know, I mentioned it earlier. Like, why do they target Odyssey Library so much? Maybe they ran a supercomputer thing on it. Well, this could take off. This could be dangerous. Shut it down now. Like, we, you know, it's pre-crime kind of thing, right? Or pre-whatever you want to call it, a hate crime, right? But the thing is, they're emulating everything. They're like, they want to know everything. And that's, again, part of like how you control things and maximize, you know, more control is to eliminate uncertainty. And that's why we go back to that thing that Larry Fink said himself.
He likes authoritarian, totalitarian governments.
If you want to have control, you predict the future by inventing it.
That's why Vanguard buying the stock into Twitter. We have to control the political narrative. We can't have free speech. Yeah, they know this stuff.
Yeah, and this is why.
I'm sure his little secret monarch club discusses all these things.
Yeah, exactly. And that's why, of course, it's become a fourth branch of government. They talk about how Pfizer has nestled its way in and controlling politicians and stuff. Well, who owns Pfizer? Well, BlackRock and Vanguard owns Pfizer and Moderna, right? You think they have anything to do with this? Yeah, of course they do, right? It's the game is rigged. It's George mm-hmm. Carlin. Like, it's a big club and you're not in it. You know what I mean? So anyway,
Says, "Hail Henrik and Lana, if Aladdin is pulling the strings rather than human minds, then an electrical interruption of failure makes the whole global economy house of cards even more vulnerable."
Yeah, it's true. Yeah.
Lone Star Texan says, "Happy Good Friday. BlackRock has been trying to buy my house for 2 years now. They're buying up so much land around me. It's insane. I work with many of their developers." And you have to wonder why.
Yeah.
Right? And they're doing it from what we've seen in a lot of nice white neighborhoods too, right? Pricing out so political refugees can't flee to some of those places. And what are they going to do? Make it refugee housing for this reset?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. I mean,
you think these people are not pro-replacement? Larry Fink don't have a finger in that pie too?
Or just buying it up and not selling it to people, just sitting on it because they want them in the gulag pods, you know? Yeah. And Mossex Gorillion says, "These parasites have always gotten away with fetching about what happened to them, yet never let anyone know why these things have happened."
Mm-hmm.
Bill Hoover says, "Regardless of how you feel about Elon, the situation is a positive for our nationalist cause. At the very least, it further exposes the shadowy globalists and what they are doing to control us." Absolutely.
I agree.
I mean, people are talking about BlackRock and Vanguard now.
That it's a net
wasn't
positive.
On the radar before.
Right, exactly. It's a net positive and we can use it in that way. That's why we're covering it and like, oh, this is interesting. We'll see where this goes, you know, kind of thing. But at the end of the day, you know, we'll just have to see. If anything comes out of this with Elon, anything slightly improve, okay, well, why not? We'll take it. But, you know, he'll have to prove himself if anything comes with this. But I think we'll begin to see a whole we're seeing it now, but the whole mechanism of like desperately trying to control. Ultimately, it's about information, right? It's about narrative control. It's about controlling information and flow of information so that you can dictate future events and ultimately, you know, gain more control.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So we have that. So the other clip I want to play here is with Larry Fink from BlackRock and Bill Gates talking about the path to net zero, right? So the whole environmentalist agenda that ties into this as well, which is kind of interesting. But again, that's part of like get in the pod, eat the bugs. It's part of that whole thing that's coming. And they're using tools. I consider them tools at this point or mechanisms, right? BlackRock, Vanguard, and these corporations to help to bring this about. It's not only the World Economic Forum, but it's how they tie into this, right? Listen to this here.
We have some parts of the country that are very, very worried about how this transition will mean for their state, their locality, for their jobs. And so this is not going to be an easy task. But I would say across the board, capital is moving and it's going to move very rapidly. And I'm very proud that I could tell you right now, every hydrocarbon company in the United States is now focused on this. Whereas I would say 3-4 years ago, they weren't. They did not believe it. And so we are making change. And I would say we're making more rapid change because of Bill and other people who are expressing this openly.
The bulk of emissions in the decades ahead will come from developing countries. Let's think of it in three tiers. The rich countries, that's Europe, US, Japan. The middle income countries, that's where most of humanity lives. That's China on the high end, high middle income, and India on the low end. And you've got Brazil, Mexico, Indonesia, Vietnam, a lot of the world's population there. And then you have some very poor countries, a lot in Africa. The responsibility to innovate.
And they want them to come to Europe and America, by the way.
Rests entirely on the rich countries and particularly on the U.S. because the U.S. has the universities, the national labs. It's got the ability to organize risk-oriented capital. So
and who tried to control the universities? Jeffrey Epstein, who's a pal of Jeffrey Epstein, Bill Gates, who's his pal, Larry Fink. You know, do you see a trend here, folks? Keep going.
We will not solve climate change without the rich world driving down dramatically. That's what will make it economic for the middle-income countries who are not responsible for the historic emissions and who are dealing with more basic needs.
All right, so this is insane, right? We've talked about this before. Net zero, carbon capture, direct air capture.
When do we get to vote on this stuff? They're just doing stuff to the environment now, meddling with Mother Nature, and we don't have a say.
No, I mean, this is absolutely insane. I mean, look, we'll
But they're worried about Elon Musk buying Twitter. But they're doing this. They're removing carbon from the air.
Yeah, exactly.
And he's right. Buying up farms, right? Bill Gates. Like, why are you doing that?
Biggest farm land owner in America. And there's less and less of it, too, which is a problem, right? But think about this. These big companies, NGO, people you don't elect, haven't voted for, haven't decided if you want to do something, are starting to engineer and change the planet to such a scale and degree that it will impact every aspect of life, right? They're talking about blocking out the sun, you know, there's people that already speculate that they have certain programs for this, where they use either military planes or commercial airline traffic, and they're doing experiments to see how much they can lessen temperature on the surface by putting certain things in the atmosphere, blocking out some solar radiation, right, geoengineering. Here's Stripe and Alphabet spending nearly $1 billion on carbon removal. Like, I don't want... Leave fucking my carbon alone,
yeah.
Or everyone's carbon. Like, no one is asking you to do this, right? A new fund aims to unlock billions of dollars needed. Well, why? To scale a technology scientists say will be crucial to tackle climate change. Okay, they say so. Okay,
this has never
why?
Been done before. They just want to tinker with things that have just never been touched and tried.
Some of the world's largest companies will spend $925 million buying offset from startups that remove carbon dioxide from the atmosphere, right? We've talked about Bill Gates. They're doing a test run in Iceland right now. They suck the air out of they suck the air into these machines, right? They separate the carbon and they turn it into stone and then they bury it in the ground, right?
Why do they have to test this in Iceland? Why can't they go to one of these big cities he was talking about, like
they're doing that
China or somewhere in Africa?
They're doing it in Iceland because they can prove to you that it's not only net zero, it's minus, right? It's like minus carbon at the end of it. They're building a power plant, but they're using geothermal or volcanic heat as a way to power this thing. But then they can claim, see, here's the, this is very good. Look at the statistics. This is how to generate power. And also we're sucking the carbon out of the atmosphere at the same time. So this is like a energy creation thing. This is great. Everyone should have this. They're building this in the Midwest and other parts of the US now, right? The Frontier Fund, a public benefit corporation owned by Stripe, you know, the company in the band us and so many others, right? Has also received funding from Alphabet. That's Google, right? Shopify, Meta Platforms, right? That's Facebook, Zuckerberg, and McKinsey & Company. And that's interesting. McKinsey, I think that's the company that was doing shit with Macron, by the way. They've selected Macron as the new, as the next French president. Again, of course, with the help of the media and stuff. But they did a bunch of free favors for him. There's like a legal company, right? It will help fledgling carbon removal companies scale up and reduce the cost of withdrawing each ton of carbon dioxide from the air, which would benefit all companies in the world looking to buy high-quality offsets. So they're beginning with this, right? The carbon offset economy. Climate scientists are clear that every company in the world has to cut emissions first, whether that be through moving to renewable power or other carbon-free alternatives. But the process of reducing emissions has been delayed so much that it wouldn't be possible to meet global climate goals without removing some of the CO2 already dumped in the air. Offset purchases made by large companies to deal with emissions it cannot cut, such as those from air travel, could create the business model that will support carbon removal. While much of these tons removed could come from growing forests, there are limits on how much nature can help. Crucially, these forests face the risk of fires that can release the trapped carbon. See, that's what we talked about the other day, remember? It's all these forests out there. What if they catch fire? They will release carbon. Destroy them. Bury them
maybe
now.
We should just cut them down now.
And bury them quick. You know.
God, these people are crazy.
Anyway, it goes on from that, describing the situation, right? But it's like, as much as 6 billion tons will have to be removed annually by 2050, according to the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change Models. And those are those who have gone through the science on this shows how wrong this is, how inaccurate they are, how the measurements which they came to these conclusions were wrong. They put these temperature, you know, average with the measured temperatures on all the wrong places, outside of vents, on parking lots. Like, all this stuff has been exposed already, right, back in Climategate days. But no, they're moving ahead. They have 1.5 degrees, and if we don't do this now, you know, I mean, guess what will happen when they suck all the carbon out of the atmosphere, right? Or most of it, right? Life as we know it will end on Earth. That's basically what we're looking at here, right? So these are maniacs, and these big companies are doing it. And you have BlackRock CEO sitting with Bill Gates talking about how we're going to do this. How are we going to achieve net zero? Well, let's invest in these big big companies. You know, absolutely insane. Speaking of,
maybe they're really doing something else. Maybe they just say they're doing that, but they're up to something else we don't know about.
I think they want to kill us. They want to kill everybody. You know. But here's more proof of the anthropogenic global warming or climate change, as they call it now, right? Temperatures on Neptune are mysteriously fluctuating, right? Because that's what it's doing here on Earth too, right? Goes up and down. Oh, well, that's climate change.
Better bring some carbon-sucking machines up to Neptune.
Exactly. And it doesn't make sense. An unprecedented analysis of changes in the temperature of Neptune has revealed something rather strange taking place on the most distant planet in our solar system. Far-flung Neptune, which orbits the sun about 30 times the distance of Earth, takes an accordingly long time to make its trek around the star. Right now, Neptune's southern hemisphere is in the midst of an epic four-decade-long summer, but for reasons scientists can't fully explain, the temperature hasn't exactly been warming up, at least not in the gradual way that we might assume. A new study compiling 17 years' worth of observations of Neptune's temperature instead shows the opposite taking place, which readings indicate a mysterious global average drop of about 8 Celsius between 2003 and 2018, as evidenced by a significant decline in atmospheric radiation from 2003 and on. And of course, remember the Schilling stars, Henrik Svensmark, one of the good scientists on this, that talked about the solar influence of how it affects climates, not only on Earth, but on every damn planet, right? That's why, like, Mars was heating up for a while, and it's like, oh, clearly it's global warming. They're driving around their SUVs again, these Martians, right? That's why it's happening. So you know that even a drop in temperature, which many people believe might be happening here too, a Maunder minimum, we might be entering into a mini ice age coming in the next few years, while they're prepping us for global warming and increase of temperatures, and they're re-engineering seeds and plants and even animals now, right, that we farm to cope with increasing warmer climate. What if they do that and then a colder climate happens? What do you think will happen to those the non-existing diversity of those genetically engineered organisms, mm-hmm. such as plants, seeds, crops, animals, right? Well, they'll all probably die. You know, so I don't know. My point is much wider, bigger cycles are affecting why we see changes on the Earth, but these lunatics take this as evidence that we're all doing this. It's man's fault, and we have to, let's bring in Agenda 2030 and UN Sustainable Development Goals. That should take care of it, right? More control, more bugs, less meat, you know? All right. God, insanity.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. I know I'm behind on some of these.
Go ahead. Yeah.
I was waiting on the timing for a few of them, okay? Cuck-free zone. Maybe Aladdin will get racially conscious and join our side. That's right. What was that one robot? What was her name again? They had to shut her down. Yeah.
Tay? Ty? Yes. Was it Tay?
Tay? Yeah, Tay or something. Okay. Archie says, 20 years ago, I worked for a think tank, and one project was a pandemic computer simulation. The sophistication was profound, from modeling proteins on cell surfaces all the way to functions of hospitals and schools. Joining economic and political modules was possible. So thinking in terms of them with their supercomputers, predicting things like, if we have free speech on Twitter, what's that going to create in the long term, right? Yeah. So they probably have those supercomputers already going, right?
Yep. Oh, of course they do. Absolutely. No, that's a done deal. It's rolling. Oh, I'm sorry. Let me lower that.
We have some parts of the country that are very... Sorry, yes.
Okay, go ahead.
And then Musk's Carillion said, do you think that they will be able to get away with it yet again, considering how everything is so well documented in our current technological age? Well, that's another reason why they're trying to censor and ban and control the internet and the political discourse. But it still doesn't work, does it? I mean, truth is still getting out and seeping out. So I hope that we get to see some frickin' justice in our lifetime. Mm-hmm. I hope.
Yeah.
Needs to happen.
We better.
Yep. We're going to have to make that happen.
That's right.
Children and their children's children are going to have to make that happen.
Yep. I've got to take back control from these lunatics. Yep.
Also, there's another one here. Mm-hmm. Let me find it. Something about Gab, because we didn't talk about that, right? What do you think of Andrew Torba's offer to Musk?
Oh, to $2 billion, invest, yeah. $2 billion. I think what he said, you can get on our board or something, or I don't think he said, like, you can buy the company for that. He's just like, yeah, you can come on here and you can, like, basically dictate or put, we want as much of your input as possible, I think he said something. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I mean, make Gab big. You make that blow up. I agree, it would be great, but it'll probably not happen, you know? Yeah.
I don't think it's going to happen either. Archie says, Elon taking Twitter can damage Gab and other competitors, which helps recapture the narrative in the long run, getting people to migrate from Gab so that Gab becomes non-viable. Well, I think it's good to have as many channels as possible to get the information out there.
No, exactly. I mean, what we really need is decentralized platforms that basically you can't censor, you can't mess with them. You do have that legal problem, though. I mean, technically, just like they are creating these AIs that are just running amok right mm-hmm. now, right? And just like, oh, this is buying up all the stock, is trading faster than you, it knows, it predicts, and now it tells humans what to do. And, you know, much in the same way, you could technically create a decentralized platform and just let it go. Like, whatever ends up on it, that's, this is illegal content or something. Yeah, what are you going to do about it? You know, I mean, that's really what we need. And not because I'm like super gung-ho about, like, you know, the most foul content out there. But I'm just saying for the purposes of free speech, we need decentralized platform, unleash those, and then let the chips fall as they may. And at the end of that, sure, 100% truth might not stand, but a heck of a lot more is going to be out there and known than compared to now. Yeah, you know?
Absolutely.
So that's what I believe in, decentralized platforms. And again, that's why I think the SEC, or they're hurting Odyssey and Library, because they see where that technology mm-hmm. is going. Mm-hmm. Okay. So yeah, we were talking about, what do we have here? Twitter, censorship problems on Twitter, right? There are a lot, despite the denials that it's not really happening, it's not a problem. Here's some
scum, Russian scum,
being booted from Twitter. Remember that? That's the former MSNBC host. You remember that guy? Mm-hmm. Russian podcast, right? Russians with Attitude gets booted from Twitter.
Yeah, because they were influential and reaching a lot of people. Isn't it amazing how yesterday was about, well, I would say a little while ago was about, we can't talk about race, right? We still can't really. And then yesterday it was like, you can't talk about COVID. And now today it's, oh, you can't talk about the Russian-Ukrainian war unless it's from the perspective we agree with, right?
Oh, yeah.
It just never ends with these hall monitors. It's always going to be something new that comes, mm-hmm. isn't it?
Yes, they don't like that, and they got to control it. So that's what they're doing this, right? So anyway, what is there to say about it? They were banned from Twitter. You know, they kicked them off because they're giving things on
anything from the Russian perspective.
On the Russian perspective, and this is kind of interesting too. So here's Pedro, right? Pedro Gonzalez. He does good coverage and stuff like that.
And also Anatoly, who I interviewed, he actually started with the Russians with Attitudes. He's friends with those guys.
Yeah, so Anatoly's going to try to reach out to them.
They've
to
just been busy.
Get on our
they
show.
They had a lot going on and stuff, but yeah, it would be great to get them on.
We're going to try to get those guys on. But anyway, Pedro here says, this account was a better source of information about Ukraine than every blue check journalist and expert combined. Russians with Attitude was also much more careful in its reporting and tried to verify things and debunk Ukrainian propaganda aimed at Americans. No wonder Twitter suspended it. So who did they suspend after that? They suspended, where is he? Where'd he go? No, did I not add that in? What the hell?
Pepe Escobar. Yeah, you had him on. When did you have him on?
Well, okay, let me pull it up here. So let me go back. They also removed, was it not Pedro? Maybe it was Pepe then. I thought Pedro was limited as well. He was suspended temporarily or something like that. But anyway, yeah, Pepe Escobar, he's another good source for some of this stuff too. And so he was also permanently suspended. For advocates of non-interventionist foreign policy, April 13 was a bad day. Pepe Escobar, a Brazilian journalist who covers geopolitics topics, suspended from Twitter for allegedly violating its rules against abuse and harassment. Escobar has been one of the few international relations analysts who has spoken soberly about the Russo-Ukrainian conflict In addition, Escobar has been a strong critic of the Anglo-American establishment, specifically its machinations abroad. So anyway, there it is right there. So he has a Telegram, though. That looks like a complicated username right there, though. Need a better one than that. VK.com/PepeAsia. Yeah, I had him on in 2010, I think.
A while ago.
Was it about Syria? Maybe it was 11? I forget when it was. But yeah, I'm not, I mean, I don't agree with everything, but it's good to get another perspective on things. And then what else do we have here?
Well, Rumble is starting to get messages from journalists and starting to get pressure. They've been detailing when they get these emails now about basically you need to censor. You need to censor like YouTube censors. We don't like that things are just running wild on your platform. They even provide some links and stuff like, for instance, we don't like this video. What about this? Like there can't be anything from another perspective floating around there. Like there's these buzzards just flying around these alternative platforms, just snitching and whining and complaining and making these demands. I mean, they're psychotic.
Yeah.
Simply psychotic.
And again, Rumble is not, I mean, there's some maybe that has been censored, but I mean, they're not, at least according to their terms of service. I guess Odyssey says the same thing, to be honest. But so, you know, at least they haven't censored like crazy, but it might not even, some people say, oh, it's it's a DuckDuckGo, but for the video world. You know, some people are arguing that. It could very well be true. But again, doesn't matter. Anything that's like data can't control, well, what are you going to do about this? What about Russian disinformation? You know, Odyssey had like, they have allowed RT on there, right? Russia Today, that channel. And of course, that's a big problem. So we have to censor them and shut them down. And what else do we have here? What else was it? There was one I was going to... Oh, this one. Let's check this one out. But the screenshot you took of your timeline there.
Oh, yeah. Typed in Good Friday. I was looking for something. And I saw some porn came up, by the way.
It was a fat, ugly dude that has his dick hanging out. I wouldn't even call it... Well, I guess it is pornography technically.
Gasped when I saw that in the feed. You know what I'm talking about. That like happens a lot on Twitter.
So
like,
what the point is, while we're bringing this up, you can see his
look
fat
where the,
belly
look
down
where
the
check
bottom
is.
There. Yeah.
Look where the check is.
The point is, when they should ban and censor... Like, remove the fucking disgusting shit like this.
I had to go through, like, 8 pages or something before I got to the, you know, naked part or whatever. Who's this report for? Me, someone else, a specific group of people like women, Jewish people, or queer people. Like, those are your options. If it's Jewish people, women, or queers, then go ahead and proceed with this report.
So you have a very specific... like a very like, small ethnic group mentioned right there. Well, like, why? So you want to record something. But I mean, the point is, again, like, you know, what you shouldn't ban, you ban. And what you should ban, you don't ban. Like, filth and disgusting, like, you know, someone...
It takes forever for them to remove those dirty
penis.
Dick pictures, yeah. You know?
So this is the world. And again, it's like... While they're saying disinformation is immoral or, you know, this is dangerous.
I didn't consent to seeing that image.
Oh, right, exactly. This is dangerous to our democracy or whatever the hell the arguments are, right? But diddling kids and having pedophiles groom them, you know, that's morally correct. That's, you know, we should all stand up for
you're
that.
Hey, being homophobic now.
Yeah, absolutely. okay. So here's another little twist to this here as well. The question is Elon, is he a hero, right? Because kind of like Trump in that way, he has all the right enemies, right? You got to always keep that in the back of your mind. When the establishment turns on someone like this, then you also have to ask, okay, is that for a reason? Could that be used? Could that mean that, you know, they're gaining notoriety automatically or credibility automatically because the you know, establishment is for it, right? So here's Nick Adams. Elon Musk is a great man who has a chance to save a free speech for everyone. That's why he's being attacked. And it could be, but it might not also be, right? Here's some other things of stuff he's working on. We're talking about these robots earlier, right, which is basically artificial intelligence and stuff like that. And, of course, I've been through in the past. He's behind the company that's developing computer brain interfaces, Neuralink, Starlink, which is sending up the 5G satellites.
To how this technology could be used by these very people that are attacking him, that want to stifle free speech and control the political discourse. Obviously, they're going to jump all over this technology. Is he just naive and thinks like, no, I'll create it and I'll control it? Like, I mean, what goes on? What goes on in his head, like Greenblatt?
Yeah, we need into his head to know
what he's thinking. Elon Musk wants to come on the show, huh?
Yeah. Tesla accelerates hiring for Optimus Robot Project, develops overall humanoid software architecture. This is a good, you know, he's a guy who's been warning about, like, you know, we're developing the demon with artificial intelligence and stuff. And then it's like, well, but if I do it, then it will be fine. You know, I don't know. Part of me, if I do it, then I will control it. Do not trust the guy. You know what I mean? If he improves something, great. Thank you. And we'll see what the fruits of his, you know, labor is at the end of it, or you know. But initially, I don't know. There are reasons to be suspicious of what he's done. Even the boring company, right, that was at the deep underground basis.
Usually you're suspicious of, in this day and age, people that generally can acquire great wealth like that. Yeah. You wonder, like,
yeah, the richest
their connections,
man on the planet.
How they got there, you know what I mean? Usually, yeah. Like, the nice guys aren't the richest guys.
No,
you know, exactly. The guys that want to actually help and do damage generally are not the richest guys in the world.
Yeah. Go back to our no-go zone where I
wish it wasn't so, but...
Right. Had bald Elon on the cover. Check out that show because we played another good clip and went through some more. Like, wait a minute, what's this guy doing? Kind of thing, right? All right. Do you have anything to catch up on before we kind of shift focus a little bit here? Okay. So Trudeau planning a tax on trucks. A little bit different. We're leaving the Twitter thing behind us here. Unless there's any fresh news from today about this or earlier today, we'll check that in a moment. Maybe before we close out or something like that. I mean, it's just, of course they are, right? But this is more nonsense in the environmental thing. It connects with it in that way. Carbon bad. Hydrocarbons bad. We got to ban all that. We got to stop all that. We have to have you move into the big cities. And who better to do that than the very highly admired, from Klaus Schwab's point of view, Justin Trudeau, who's helping to usher in a fourth industrial revolution in the Western world by doing it in Canada. To ban do an extraordinarily high tax on trucks. These types of taxes always start with a small select number of people to tax and then broaden little by little every year until everyone is paying. The proposed tax would cost an extra $1,000 on a Ford F-150 and a Ram 3500 heavy-duty pickup truck would get hit with a $4,000 tax. For most people, this new tax will come as a surprise. Yep, that's what they've been doing in Sweden for some time. Just tax you, just squeeze you out by taxing you. As neither Prime Minister Justin Trudeau nor Environmental Minister Stephen Guilbeault held a big press conference to announce their latest war on working folks. The recommendation to whack trucks with a big tax is buried deep in a new 271-page report from the Minister of the Environment that was posted on the Government of Canada website March 31st of this year. This is our ambitions and achievable roadmap to reach our emissions reduction targets, writes the FART. The report is recommending broadening an existing tax that currently hits large SUVs, so that would also be applied to trucks such as Ford, Toyota, Tamacos, is that Tacomas, right? Tacomas. Chevrolet Silverado and Dodge Rams. And again, who's this going to hit? Well, it's going to hit people who are out on the countryside, right? Here,
farmers,
for many Canadians,
workers, people that actually, you know, builds
to haul things,
uphold civilization.
Yeah, trucks are as important to the work as daily life as laptops and Zoom accounts for those of us in offices, and that's the people who are like doing these laws, right? Well, I could, you know, sitting with their soy lattes, right? You can't pack a Prius full of poultry feed, and it's tough to plywood into a Tesla or stuff plywood into a Tesla, right? Anyway, you get the, you know why they're doing
this,
right?
Is what they'll do. They'll just make it just so prohibitive, the costs, that you can't afford, you know, you can't have it anymore. They're going to do that with trucks and SUVs and gas-powered cars until they can just phase it out, right? And then it'll just be, you know, rich people that can afford these things.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And of course, we have more on the boosters coming soon, right? More on that kind of stuff. Let me play this to you here. Here's Fauci. Talking about
is Fauci still around? We're still talking about this? Yes, it's amazing. Yes. It just circles back around.
They're talking about a new round of lockdowns, and it's very stringent and hard in like Shanghai right now, other parts of China. And they want to do that in the West as well eventually. But he reveals here, he reveals his hand of why you do lockdowns. What's the purpose of lockdowns? Listen to this.
Concerning is the outbreak in China. We see the lockdown in Shanghai, and the State Department now ordering families out, all non-essential workers out of Shanghai.
Well, China has a number of problems, two of which are that their complete lockdown, which was their approach, a strictest lockdown that you'd never be able to implement in the United States. Although that prevents the spread of infection, and remember early on, they were saying, and I think accurately, that they were doing better than almost anybody else. But lockdown has its consequences. You use lockdowns to get people vaccinated so that when you open up, you won't have a surge of infections because you're dealing with an immunologically naive population to the virus because they've not really been exposed because of the lockdown. The problem is that the vaccines that they've been using are not nearly as effective as the vaccines that are used in the United States, the UK, EU, and other places.
Oh, is he talking about the mRNA technology? They're not using that, I guess. But basically, you do lockdowns so that you can force people to take the vaccine, right? And Bill Gates said, "Listen, it's there's crazy people protesting his vaccines, and it's kind of weird." I want to find a copy of this talk. There was the TED talk in, I think, Vancouver, where he and others spoke as well. He addressed the conspiracy theories regarding himself and COVID vaccine. Yeah, because he has no finger in this pie whatsoever. And those who are called speak to him as crazy, right?
Because it's crazy and weird to be thinking about one of the theorizing about one of the richest men in the world and all his fingers that are in everything.
Yeah.
Why?
Lots of dykes. Gates also proclaimed that it's kind of weird that people don't like him, adding, does this turn into something where there's constantly crazy people showing up? Hopeful as pandemic calms down, people are more rational about, hey, vaccines are a miracle and there's a lot more we can do, Gates further stated. Bill Gates tells a TED audience on a $1 billion solution for preventing pandemics. Bill Gates proposes a team of 3,000 doctors, epidemiologists, thank you, just break it up, and diplomats to be coordinated by the World Health Organization at the cost of $1 billion a year. Who would get that money? Well, he, of course, would get that money, right? And last clip we'll play here today, tonight, after we round up, the real pandemic, folks, is right around the corner. And who says this? Well, it's none other than Robert Redfield. He's a former head of the CDC. He was a it was at the Walter Reed Army Medical Center doing research in Washington, D.C. for many years. He completed his medical training there. He continued as a U.S. Army physician and medical researcher at the Walter Reed Army Medical Center for the next decade, working in virology, immunology, and critical research. He's done like a lot of work on like the AIDS epidemic and even Gallo, the guy like behind the, you know, if you get into the whole weeds of like the AIDS stuff and looking into Gallo, like, oh my God, these people are like super corrupt. Anyway, this is what he said about that. What's really coming here?
Based on what you've learned from this pandemic, what can we apply to future pandemics, which will surely come down the pike, perhaps more than ever because it's a crowded planet. We've got airplanes, which are constantly...
I got to get rid of some people, eh?
Traversing the world, you know, thousands of them every day, which are little tiny petri dishes intermingling in continents.
Yeah, I think we have to recognize, I've always said that I think the COVID pandemic was a wake-up call. I don't believe it's the great pandemic. I believe the great pandemic is still in the future, and that's going to be a bird flu pandemic for man. It's going to have significant mortality in the 10 to 50% range. It's going to be trouble, and we should get prepared for it.
10 to 50%.
And remember those labs in Ukraine that were tracking specifically birds and their migratory patterns and different diseases affecting birds?
It's already started.
Countries they fly over. Yeah.
Yep, it's already
started. How it affects different ethnicities, all of that.
More than 22 million turkeys, chickens, and backyard birds have died from illness or had to be destroyed.
And this is just completely wasteful. Again, this plays into the eat the soy patties. choice, right? You can't eat the chicken.
You know, if you want a lion burger or tiger tacos, well, you can do some cell cultured startup, right? Well, how about a plant-based marble steak developed in Switzerland? Maybe we should just produce it all in a big vat, right? Just a big, and of course there is you can have a mung bean egg, maybe, or some collagen from the Israeli startup company, right? There's some of the good stuff that you can replace it with. But anyway, the point here is. They're doing this quite intentionally, but back to him, just mentioned the last part of this here. They're dropping the seeds of this, but bird flu with a 10 to 50% mortality rate. That's
crazy.
That's a lot.
I do believe that the pandemic risk is a greater risk of the national security of the United States than Korea, China, Russia, Iran. And we ought to start investing proportional to that national security risk, so we're prepared. Unfortunately, we're not more prepared today.
All right, there you go, right? So crazy stuff, right? Crazy stuff, guys. But just something to be aware of here right at the end before we wrap up, that they're dropping these seeds right now to see where things are at.
Snigging is saying, we are living in a true horror conspiracy, guys. So sad that people think we're crazy. That's right.
Yeah, well, you know, at the end of the day,
a lot of people don't anymore.
Those who don't, you know, those are not looking at it this way, they might not make it, you know.
Dog Whistler says, great show. My wife and I are expecting our first child, and she is due end of next week.
Wow.
Congratulations.
Fantastic.
So since I will most likely miss next week's show, have a happy Easter, Lana and Henrik.
Thank you. Appreciate awesome. That. Congratulations. That's great news.
There was another one. Yep. Yeah, that's the best news, of course, and this is the perfect time.
Children of the
right?
future. That's
perfect
what,
time around Easter.
One thing you can do, that's what you can do, right?
JP says,
yep.
Henrik and Lana, I once shaved off my beard and left a little small mustache. Just like Elon Stash on the cover of your stream today, and I thought my ex-girlfriend would laugh her ass off, but she freaked out. That is when I realized she wasn't a keeper. Well, that's one way to do it. That's one test you can do. She should have said, oh, honey, that's funny.
Yeah, let's go.
And then you can shave it off later.
Yeah.
Right.
I don't know what I'm doing here. That's funny. All right.
It's always but funny.
I was
though,
gonna isn't pull it? Up the Elon picture, and I was like, you know what? Let's play that. Here he is,
you
right
just
there.
Had it ready to go. It's yeah, there, just not? In case.
Yeah, you know.
Bruh.
Right there. That's the. that's what we're looking at right now, folks. He's literally Hitler. This guy, because he's not on our page, and he will do bad things. And of course,
anyone they don't like is Hitler, right?
That's an actual photograph. Of Hitler's mustache there as well.
Brought to you by Pfizer.
All right, we got to wrap up there. I don't know what I'm doing. All right, redice.tv, of course, our website. Check it out. We have a little bit later today going up straight to Red Ice members first. It will premiering there later tonight. What happened to Canada? What the hell happened to Canada? Together with Rage and Morgan. Check that out right now as well up on the member site. You have 314, the latest there as well. Where are we? That show right
mm-hmm.
here. Pedophile Groomers and Motherhood in the Age of Insanity. Check that out.
It's a good one.
It will go up on the main channels, also a little bit later here today. But if you can't wait, redicemembers.com. That's a good way of supporting us. Head on over there. Sign up for a membership. We are have a couple of different tiers on our subscribe star. We do have two new tiers. Either if you're new to the show or haven't tuned in a while, we have a producer tier, and then we have an executive producer tier. And this, of course, gets you a little shout out at the end. And I guess this is a good time to play that as well. God, I have too many sources here. Where are we? Here's our producers here for today. Scott Henderson, thank you. And also to T. Lothrop Stoddard. We appreciate you guys. Thank you for being executive producers as well. If you do sign up for any of those tiers, reach out to us over on Subscribestar. If you do it there, you can DM us over there, or you can just send an email, redice@protonmail.com, and let us know that you have signed up for one of those tiers, because we want to know what name you want to use so we don't put the wrong name on there or something like that. So thank you to you guys. Thank you to our executive producer today. But again, it's $10 a month if you sign up recurring. Otherwise, if you do a one-time payment, we have subs from 3 months all the way up to 2 years. And it's much cheaper, of course, per month. If you do the two-year one, it's something like 35, almost 40% off. So it's like down to $6 a month. Or something like that. So that's a good deal as well. Support Red Ice, of course. That's the way to do it. If you want us around, make sure that you support what we do. And if you, for some reason, the best way, of course, is to sign up for a membership. But if you, for some reason, don't want to do that, redice.tv/donate. That's a good way of helping out as well. So we're doing a couple of shameless plugs here right at the end. EntropyStream, you can actually sign up there as well. They do have a month-to-month subscription option. Just do the custom one. Put in 10 and you're good to go. Always remember to email us when you sign up, by the way. We have a Cash App. We have an e-check option. We have crypto. Excuse me. And here's our mailing address.
You know what Elon Musk should do is put his money where his mouth is and start his own bank. Start your own bank and, you know, credit card processing company, all of that stuff.
Yeah, if you really want to
make political dissidents.
Damage. Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I mean, look, there's some people out there that claims that he's based or whatever. I mean, I think P.J. Watson said that recently. Like, I know for a fact. It's like, yeah, did you talk to him? Well, you got to, I mean, if he's around some of these people, like, you got to start doing more here. And this is a good thought. Goes out to any wealthy person. Like, you think you're going to pass through this and just, like, be fine because you have some reason? No, like, everyone's going down
here.
It's
going to touch everyone.
You got to start supporting people who are getting out the word now before it's too late. You know, we need you know, as many as possible to awaken and to get on our side here, you know? All right, guys, thank you to everyone over. Let me check one more time here so we didn't have any on Rumble, which I missed. Oh, let me check also Odyssey. I think we had a couple there, but let me check Rumble. I don't think so. I think we're caught up there. What do we have here? Pagan Bear says, bird flu is a hoax. They don't want people eating real meat and especially being independent from the fake food system. Mm-hmm. Very possible. It's also the real possibility that they actually do have something engineered that they work on and they put that out, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think we did Lord Aragon, so I think we're caught
up. Two birds with one stone, as they say.
Yeah.
Yes. I'm all caught up. And just a big happy Easter to everyone. And egg hunts, if you're doing that with the kids. I always enjoy that. Hiding some eggs and letting the kids find the good organic candy and chocolate inside. Right? We don't support the Oreo cookie corporations.
No, and neither do we support the...
we support the pedophile groomers
as well.
Neither
do we support the high fructose corn syrup industry.
No.
Michael 57D here about an hour ago over on Odyssey. Sorry, I should have caught that right away. Hail Henrik and Lana, don't be a wastist. Waukesha was a tragic accident. To imply anything else is wastist. That's right. So the meme they put the guy in Waukesha with the gun next to him versus the guy in the car who drove over white people. And people are like, which one do you know the name of here, right?
Yeah, exactly.
A meme. But all right. Anyway, guys, I think that's... it for us tonight. Appreciate you. Let me find my outro and then we'll be on our way. We'll see you guys over at Red Ice members. I think Monday, since it's Easter, as you said, no Weekend Warrior this weekend, but we'll do something probably Monday or Tuesday. We'll keep you guys up to speed on that. If you want notifications from us, the best place right now is to follow our Telegram or our Gab or our Twitter. We always put out info there. So if you want to catch us live either on Monday or Tuesday, you'll see more information soon about that. But yeah, thank you guys. Thank you to everyone supporting. We appreciate you guys. We'll see you later.
Have a great weekend. Do you love Red Ice? Want more? Get access to exclusive material by signing up for a Red Ice membership. You'll be able to watch Weekend Warrior, our flagship show, the second hour of interviews, and other special feature videos only for subscribers. Were you a member and we lost you along the way? Renew! We love and appreciate you guys and gals and cannot do this without you. Help us be a sane voice, a lighthouse in the sea of insanity. As times get tougher, as people are searching for answers, they're going to need content like Red Ice. A little of all your support can go a long way. Thank you.